Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, January 6th. Kathy's out. I'll handle the duties. We'll start with some tragedy that unfolded yesterday morning in Philadelphia. 8 children and 4 adults were killed after a house fire erupted in the Fairmount section of the city Wednesday morning. The deadliest fire in the city in more than a century. A fire official said the number of fatalities is, quote, dynamic, indicating the number of those killed could range as the recovery continues. Mayor Jim Kenney said, without a doubt, one of the most tragic days in our city's history. Losing so many kids is just devastating. Please keep these babies in your prayers. Fire officials said 18 people were living in the upstairs apartment known as Unit B, which was comprised of the second and third floors of the duplex. Another 8 people lived on the first floor, which was Unit A. However, the Philadelphia Housing Authority said that they were only aware of 14 residents in Unit B when they did their last occupancy recertification in October. There was no immediate word on the cause of this fire, but there's a source that says investigators are looking into the possibility that the blaze may have been sparked after a child started a Christmas tree fire, but that is still under investigation in the early stages. Sources say most, if not all, of the fatalities were from Unit B. As relatives and friends hugged and cried throughout the day, it was impossible to calculate the pain. 6ABC reported on a few of those people. Kadira and Jasuta Purifoy said that they had lost their 3 sisters and their 8 children. They identified one of them as 32-year-old Virginia Thomas. A second sister identified as Rosalie McDonald also perished in the blaze along with her 6 children, 3 boys and 3 girls.
When this story first broke, and, you know, we're on air yesterday, and I'm looking at Marissa and I'm saying, I'm looking at the number and I'm like, this, no, that has to be a mistake.
Right.
Yeah, and it's too premature. Sadly, it was not a mistake.
Right.
And I also heard rumors, Preston, that to the effect that the fire smoke alarms were not working.
Yeah, well, going on with the story, amidst the pain and the grief, a solemn procession of police vans carried the bodies of the victims to the medical examiner's office on Wednesday night. Van after van had passed through the intersection of 23rd and Paris Streets. His relatives and friends looked on in deep sorrow, trying to make sense of the tragedy. Isaiah Brown said several of the victims were his cousins, but he loved them like brothers and sisters. Deputy Fire Commissioner Craig Murphy noted that it was a large number of people to be occupying a duplex, but a spokesperson for the Philadelphia's Department of Licenses and Inspections said the city does not limit the number of family members who can stay in a single unit. In all, fire officials said a total of 26 people were living in the duplex, though officials stressed that number could change. So the fire broke out around 6:40 a.m. Firefighters arrived to find heavy flames shooting from the second story of the 3-story row house. The odd configuration of the building, originally a single-family home that had been split in 2 apartments, made it difficult to navigate. The fire department said that it took about 50 minutes to bring the fire under control. There were 7 smoke detectors and 3 carbon monoxide detectors in one of the apartments and 6 smoke detectors with 3 carbon monoxide detectors in the other as of the last inspection in the spring of 2021. The duplex is a Philadelphia Housing Authority property. In a statement, the PHA president and CEO, Kelvin A. Jeremiah, confirmed the property was last inspected in the spring and that all smoke detectors were operating properly at that time.
Okay.
So per the annual inspection, they were working at that time. Doesn't mean that they weren't disabled and so on at this point, but that's the only information that I know for sure of, Steve, about the smoke detectors.
Do you guys have a fire ladder in your upstairs bedrooms?
Yeah, we got we have one in each of the kids' bedrooms on the top floor. Yeah. I have one. I don't know where it is. Isn't that stupid? Somewhere in my cluttered closet.
Yeah. It's probably a similar story, but it is a wise thing to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it sometimes it seems like, I don't know. Get it. Have it.
You'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Sure. Absolutely. PHA spokesperson Kirk Dorn said the family moved into Unit B roughly a decade ago, and at the time, 6 people occupied it. Over the years, the family expanded with young children. Dorn said the family never requested to be moved to a larger unit. He says due to the pandemic and demand for low-income housing, the Philadelphia Housing Authority could not move the family to a 5-bedroom home, but it's unclear why the family wasn't split up into 2 smaller homes. Eight people were able to get out of the house, officials said. Two people were taken to the hospital. One went to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and one went to Temple University. There's no immediate word on the conditions. However, this morning I did hear that two people were taken in critical condition. So
yeah.
That number could change, unfortunately, and I hope that it doesn't.
To watch seasoned firefighters describe what they saw when they went in and tearing up says it all.
First Lady Jill Biden, along with President Joe Biden, had deep ties to the Philadelphia area, and she tweeted, "My heart is with the families and loved ones of the victims of this tragic fire in Philadelphia." And this is, as I said, the deadliest single fire in Philadelphia in at least a century. Before this, the city's deadliest fire was October 1901, a fire in an eight-story building in the 1200 block of Market Street, and that killed 22 people. Of course, the MOVE fire, 11 people died in that, and nine people died in a fire back in 1967. So there hasn't been anything this tragic in a long, long, long time concerning fires in the city. President Biden and members of Congress will mark the one-year anniversary of the attack on the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol, today. Biden will speak from Statuary Hall inside the Capitol. And the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said yesterday that he'll speak the truth about what happened in contrast with, quote, the lies some have spread since. There will also be a number of remembrance events during the day, but AP said while they're expected to be widely attended, both in person and virtually, by congressional Democrats, most Republicans will not attend. Speaker Nancy Pelosi has scheduled a moment of silence in the House, as well as a session with testimonials from members who were there that day. And one last story, the California winning ticket was sold. I'm sorry, the winning ticket for the Powerball was sold in California and Wisconsin on Wednesday night. $632 million.
That's great.
Don't you feel so great for those people?
I do.
But now, actually, they're going to have to split it. So that does get chopped up a bit.
Lucky if they get $330 million.
The California winning ticket was sold at a 7-Eleven store in Sacramento. There were also more than a dozen winners of smaller prizes worth $1 million or more, including $2 million winners in Florida and Georgia, and $1 million winners in nine states. So a bunch of people won some cash. A ticket with five of the five winning numbers, but not the final Powerball number, was sold at a Chevron in South Pasadena, California. That prize was $1.3 million.
Chevron. Of course.
Yeah.
The numbers pulled for Wednesday's drawing were 6, 14, 25, 33, 46, with Powerball number 17 and a two-time multiplier. The jackpot is the seventh largest in Powerball's history, has a cash value of more than $450 million. The prize now rests at $20 million for Saturday's draw.
Wow.
Which, if you think about it,
that's not bad.
The lowest ones.
Hey, it's pretty good.
Man, yeah. 20 million, you kidding me?
I don't know why, but on this run to where it got to the level where it was finished out this week, I bought four separate Powerball tickets, and I never do that. And I just I thought that...
You were feeling lucky.
I guess so, you know, I was involved with this one. I ended up getting matching two numbers entirely. For the whole thing.
Oh,
and
I was like not in one
play? All four tickets, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I just was like, well, you know, maybe Powerball's not my game. Because it was Case. What do you get if you get the Powerball? Is that $7?
No, I think it's like four.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like a free play or something.
Who knows?
And I never win, so I never find.
Same.
The only thing I know, I don't even check the numbers. I just go to the little scanner.
Right.
And it always says, you know, ticket is not a winner. But every now and then it's like, congratulations, you won $4.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how. I never analyze the numbers and see why I won $4.
There's a ritual that we do all the time when we're, you know, before Jeopardy, you know, and the shows are coming out and they're rolling out the numbers. And so as the balls are coming up, I'm like pre-guessing.
Try and pick them,
right? And then Claire will do likewise. And if we get like one number, I go, that's uncanny. Yeah. How did you do that? How'd you do that?
And I actually used my pre-chosen lottery numbers for this time around. I have them in my briefcase. I never use them. I just do the quick picks.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is it.
Well,
it's the one I'm winning.
So I did pre-chosen.
How that turned out.
The second time around, then that didn't win.
Yeah.
So obviously it was those numbers' fault. And then last night I did the random quick ones. Picks.
I when you were rattling, because I didn't play yesterday, I completely forgot. So when you were rattling off those numbers, press the winning numbers, I kind of was wincing, like, please don't let those be
right.
The birthdays of my family members, yeah. Which are, you know, if I do pre-chosen numbers.
You know,
it's
birthdays?
It's birthdays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would kill you.
It would.
If you didn't play the numbers.
Yeah. No!
Totally.
I love it.
It's astronomical to have your numbers come up.
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber 2, where they have all the Powerball numbers, but not in the right order.
Right.
Oh, man, we had all the right numbers.
By the way,
it
took me the longest time to realize that was the case.
No, really?
Yeah.
The biggest all-time lottery jackpot was $1.58 billion. It was a Powerball prize in 2016.
Billion.
Yeah.
That's like
right,
a billion.
Rock. That's right, Rock. And the last winning jackpot was hit on October 4th with a prize of nearly $700 million. That's getting close to like a billion.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like a billion.
When a single ticket was sold in California.
As I said, he should be the one doing the lottery.
Yep. All right. So, real quick, Nick, I lost sports, so you're going to handle it if you've got it over there. So, yes, here we go.
The Sixers beat the Magic last night in Orlando. Joel Embiid scored 31 points. Tobias Harris added 22, and the Sixers won 116-106. The win was their NBA best 14th road victory of the season, and they tied a season high with their fifth straight win overall. They're back home tomorrow night with a game against the San Antonio Spurs, and tip-off is going to be at 7 o'clock. The Flyers will look to end their three-game losing streak when they return home tonight to host the Pittsburgh Penguins. Puck's going to drop at 7 o'clock. And last night in college basketball, the 15th-ranked Villanova Wildcats beat the Creighton Blue Jays. Justin Moore scored 22 points, and Jermaine Samuels added 18 to lead the Wildcats to a 75-41 blowout win. Colin Gillespie added 11 points for Villanova, who improved to 10-4 in the season after their third straight win. And that's your sports on 93.3 WMMR.
Nice. Is it too much to ask for you to do the They Did It Live?
Oh, man. I honestly kind of like get a little starry-eyed when that happens.
You'd have to be away from the mic.
Don't do it.
No, I'll do it.
Okay.
But give me a headline of something that's exciting.
All right. The Sixers won in South Philly last night.
They did it!
Oh my God.
Not bad. I gotta sit back down.
Yeah, please don't pass out.
What you need is the overmodulation on the microphone.
Yeah.
And these mics can handle a lot.
I am legit seeing stars right now.
I believe it, dude. I believe it. Sorry, I won't ask you.
Preston and Steve are kind of a big deal, yes.
All right, well, welcome Thursday morning. The majority of the work week is zipping right by. I love it when that happens. We have some stuff taking place today. We had mentioned, as far as guests go, we have matchmaker Steve Ward on the program. How did his name come up again the other day?
We were talking about, I guess, was it a dating app or something like that?
No, you were saying that this time of year is the biggest time of year.
It was Dating Sunday. Past Sunday was called, quote-unquote, Dating Sunday. Mm-hmm. And you had brought up Steve.
Right, because his mom was known as, I think, a Yenta, I guess, or like a matchmaker.
Yeah.
And he has gotten into that industry as well.
Yeah, so he's got matchmakers.com.
Yeah.
And, Master Matchmakers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mastermatchmakers.com. And he is going to pop on and maybe give us some, you know, tips and tricks for those singles who are out there trying to find that right person.
People don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So, month before Valentine's Day.
We will talk to him. And also, we have an announcement. We have a concert announcement that's going to take place. We'll probably get to that around 9 o'clock-ish, I guess.
Or it's a big deal.
All right, so we'll get to that. And otherwise, it's business as usual. So we'll have a stupid question all set for you in a moment for the entertainment report and give some goodies away. We'll take a break and come back in just a sec. Hang with us this morning, please.
Get social with Preston and Steve. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, the Stupid Question Prize is a four-pack of tickets for Jurassic Quest, which will be at the Pennsylvania Convention Center, the 15th to the 23rd. So, the question that I have for you, and this is a two-parter, what are both the station and platform number for the Hogwarts Express?
Ah.
And I couldn't have told you the station. I know the platform number from memory, but you probably do know this. So, what are both the station and platform number for the Hogwarts Express? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now if you know the answer. I'm going to go through some birthdays today. Thursday, January 6th. This one's headed out to a guy named Jeff. It's Howie Long's birthday.
Hey!
Wow. And for the entire time that I've known Casey, I think he always goes, so Jeff came over last night. Howie Long, Jeff.
Yeah.
Like, you always follow it up with Howie Long or my friend Jeff.
Just to qualify just who he is. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so Howie Long will forever be associated with Casey's buddy, Jeff. What's Jeff's last name, by the way?
Gibson.
All right, Jeff Gibson. All right.
Gibby
Howie Long.
Dorse.
Gibby what?
Gibby Dorse is what we call him.
Dorse?
Yeah, D-O-R-S-E.
Where did that Dorse come
who,
from?
From a friend of ours named Tom. He'd be like, Gibby Dorse.
Okay, he just threw it in there.
Yep.
No story behind that?
No.
He didn't live on Dorse Street or anything like
no,
that?
No, okay. Just the Gibby Dorse.
Gibby Dorse. Okay, there you go. Howie Long is 62 today. Danny Pentaro.
Yes.
Oh,
I know that name. Yes.
Yeah. He was the youngest member.
I liked him. He was a likable kid.
Yeah. He turns, 46 years old today. Acting didn't follow him.
I know I think he's active in the gay community and is doing stuff. He seems to be enjoying life the last I saw him.
46 today. We also have Norman Reedus turning a year older today. Walking Dead, obviously.
Man, I bet you in his career, signing on to that show.
Oh, man.
And it looked like, honestly, if he was to follow the trajectory of his brother on the series... but he's been there throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, he is. It's since episode one.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like the character.
Yeah,
or has been for a while. So Norman Reedus, and I should eventually get back on board and finish that up. I think season 10 is when I ducked out of there. But he is 53 years old today. Nigella Lawson, the British cooking show host.
Is she the one that says microwave?
Oh, yes, microwave instead of microwave, just jokingly.
Okay.
Amongst her, family, she would say.
Microwave.
In the microwave. It sounds like Dr. Mike.
Microwave.
Nigella Lawson. She was one of the first celebrity chefs that I was like, ooh.
She was an it girl.
Very beautiful.
Right, yeah, there's a couple of them.
And I would watch her show. She cooked up some pretty cool stuff.
It was different than the other cooking shows. It wasn't just like her, pulling out ingredients and all. It was more casual. She was telling me more about her life.
Yeah. Yeah, she's 62 today. Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean.
Oh, yes.
Great physical comedic actor.
Unbelievably funny.
I love his kind of fate-like character in Love Actually.
He's great.
He kind of gets in the way on purpose to cause some distractions. He's kind of just that almost not real person character.
He played Black Adler, didn't he? It was the series on the BBC.
Oh, I don't know.
I believe he was.
Okay.
That was what he's very well known for over there as well.
And Johnny English, I enjoyed it. It's not one of my favorite movies, but it's if you like Rowan Atkinson and his physical comedy, you get more of it in that. He is 67 today. Julie Chen. She's been here in our studio before.
Yeah.
Host of Big Brother and the early show.
The wife of Les Moonves.
Correct.
Who is not working now.
She is 52. Trudy Styler. That's Sting's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Actress and producer and activist. And she is 68 years old today. Eddie Redmayne. Eddie Redmayne is only 40 years old. For some reason, I thought he was a few years older than that. So it's a big birthday for him today.
There's a super talented guy.
Yeah. Theory of Everything is just
excellent.
Spectacular.
Unbelievable.
Film.
I saw the trailer for the next Harry Potter movie. I forget what it's called. The Crimes of Grindelwald or whatever the next one is, where Mads Mikkelsen takes over the role for Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And it looks good. I just, for whatever reason, for as into Harry Potter as I am, I just can't get myself into these movies.
Yeah, me either.
Do you know what? In the first one, too, and I love Eddie Redmayne, but his character I found so... so feckless and kind of just like, you know,
it's like he was too passive.
Too passive. Yeah. And the magical elements are there, but I think, honestly, what you're missing is a place like Hogwarts.
I agree.
Right.
Yeah. I agree. It got a little boring when it came to the U.S.
Right, you know?
Was it just a movie or was it based on a book?
These were, like, based on things that J.K. had written, but there weren't actual books associated with it. So there's a Fantastic Beasts book.
There's a textbook in the story.
Right, okay. So his character isn't necessarily fully developed.
Exactly, yeah. There wasn't a whole backstory that she had written.
Mm-hmm. Flesh out that damn character.
Eddie Redmayne is 40 today. The insanely talented Kate McKinnon.
That's great.
Saturday Night Live is celebrating her 38th birthday today.
Do you know that she's a concert level pianist?
No.
Yes.
Does she ever display that on SNL?
Yes, she has.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 38 years old today. And then last birthday I saw is supermodel Irina Shayk.
Oh, that's Bradley Cooper's ex, right?
Yeah. I believe so.
Baby Mama? Is that Baby Mama?
No. I know. Who was that? The name Suki Waterhouse is popping in my head. Is that right?
I think you're right.
Well, that is a former fling of his.
And I think she is the one that had carried their child. Now, listen.
We need to know these things. I'm not 100%
sure on this. Nick is
Suki.
Searching Bradley Cooper as we speak. We're going to get a definitive answer here.
Irina Shayk, and it's her birthday today, right? That's she's the mother.
She's the mother. All right. There we go. I was wrong.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You all right?
That's all right.
All right. She is 36 today. All right, let's see if we can find an answer to the stupid question. What are both the station and platform number for the Hogwarts Express? 215-263-WMMR. First caller in is Melissa. Hello there, Melissa. Good morning.
Hey, morning, guys.
All right, Melissa, lay it on me. The station and platform for Hogwarts Express.
I can say this confidently because I've actually been there.
Mm.
Not like Harry Potter weirdness, but like actually in London. platform 9 3/4 at King's Cross.
You got it. Yeah. Yes, King's Cross Station. Yep.
Very cool.
Hang on a second, Melissa. We will set you up with a 4-pack of tickets for Jurassic Quest coming to the Pennsylvania Convention Center from January 15th to the 23rd. You can see over 100 life-size animatronic dinosaurs, including an incredible 50-foot-long megalodon. Jurassic Quest is the largest, most popular dino event on tour, with unique and exciting experiences for the whole family. Previous events have sold out. You can get your tickets now at JurassicQuest.com before they go extinct. Melissa was the call.
I had to. I just haven't heard the song in a while.
By the way, she mentioned being at King's Cross Station at Universal Studios. If you happen to get tickets to both parks, you get to ride the Hogwarts Express. That train ride alone
is worth it.
Is so worth it. It is one of, it's not technically, I mean, it is a ride, but it's legitimately a transportation to be one place another. But it is one of the coolest things to ride in that train. The effects they have.
8-9 times. And when you go in and you see the silhouettes of Harry and Hermione walking past you.
And they're
outside,
talking.
And then you're looking. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Like they're right there.
Yes.
It's so cool.
I bet you the ride is more exciting than King's Cross Station in real life.
Yes.
It's neat. I've been a couple of times. It's really cool. When we did the Eagles trip a few years ago, I went and you know, people line up and they take pictures. Yeah. And it's a cool experience. But I bet the roller coaster ride's more fun.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, what it really is it's a full train. It's not actually underpowered by itself. It's actually pulled on a cord, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it goes from one place to another.
Right.
And it's how you get from one part to the other. But along the way, you see the Dementors and you see all this really cool
stuff.
It's really awesome. So, all right. Anyhow, moving on to the entertainment stories. Betty White will have a private funeral. Jeff Watchias, her longtime rep and friend, told People magazine that the arrangements are being handled privately, and that was Betty's wish. He added that the former Golden Girls star never wanted people to make a fuss over her.
Love her.
Yeah. Those hoping to honor the star's memory are encouraged to donate to their favorite organizations, to her favorite organizations, which include Los Angeles Zoo, Tree People, Monterey Bay Aquarium, Wildlife Learning Center, Actors and Animals for Others, the Aquarium of the Pacific, and Guide Dogs for the Blind as well. Of course, she passed away at her home in L.A. on December 31st. She was 99 years old. My daughter pointed out something I think was really cool that she saw online, that someone did the math, and if you include in the leap years, Betty lived 100 years.
There you go.
She lived to 100 years old. She would have been over that.
Because
she went through, I think, 24 leap years.
So there you go. She's owed that time.
Yeah, exactly.
How old was George Burns when he died? He was over 100.
He was 100. I think he was 101,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not 100% sure on that, but yeah, he was one of those.
He broke the 100-year mark.
Yep.
Yeah.
At 100.
Oh, he was 100? Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. The 64th Annual Grammy Awards, originally scheduled to air Monday, January 31st on CBS, have been postponed indefinitely. The Recording Academy and CBS announced on Wednesday, after careful consideration and analysis with city and state officials, health and safety experts, the artist community, and our many partners, the Recording Academy and CBS have postponed 64th Annual Grammy Award Show.
I think that's a wise move.
Yeah. The health and safety of those in our music community and the live audience and the hundreds of people who work tirelessly to produce our show remains our top priority, given the uncertainty surrounding the Omicron variant. Holding the show on January 31st simply contains too many risks, and we look forward to celebrating music's biggest night on a future date, which will be announced soon. Last year, the Grammys were postponed from January 31st to March 14th due to spiking COVID-19 cases. So we will see if it ends up coming together this year. This is a funny story. Jessica Chastain recently revealed to Ellen DeGeneres that her grandmother hit on Bradley Cooper at a party a few years ago. The actress, who says that she tried to find her grandma a date using Match.com, told Ellen, "My grandmother's now at an age where she just really doesn't care, you know?" And she's like, "I'm just going to do whatever I want." So in the middle of the party, she walked over to Bradley and just sat on his lap.
Oh, I love it.
And she ended up...
I love that freedom.
Jessica ended up saying that Cooper was, quote, absolutely horrified until she came over and introduced them to each other. She was just like, "That's a good-looking young man. I'm going to go over there and say hello to him."
That's a cool point, a point in your life, I think, when you get there. You can walk around with your pants down and let's say, he's just old.
This is where I am in life. What are you going
to
do?
You're Charlie Rosing it, is this?
I swear to God. The only, like, freely naked men I ever see in my life are the old men in the gym locker room.
Oh, they love to walk around naked.
It's and they sit their bare asses down on the chairs and the benches.
I don't approve of that.
I do not approve of that.
I don't want to sit on pre-skid marked furniture.
But they'll do it.
I watched her as Tammy Faye Baker.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's available now.
It's on HBO, maybe?
HBO Max, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really good. She's really good.
She's a great actress.
Yeah, I didn't
she's
know
fantastic.
She could. I didn't know she could sing as well, too.
Nice. It's one that I definitely want to check out. Joe Exotic is asking for help, raising $500,000 to cover the legal fees that he racked up during his ongoing feud with Carol Baskin.
He despises her.
Oh, my God, yeah. And in this statement, it continues... Yeah. According to new legal documents obtained by TMZ, a judge ordered Exotic to pay Baskin nearly $10,000 from a dispute over the Oklahoma Zoo that he once owned. The Netflix star also revealed on his GoFundMe page that he owes $1 million to Baskin's Big Cat Rescue from her trademark infringement lawsuit. And he writes, "I cannot get a fresh start until I pay effing Carol Baskin back."
That's great. God almighty.
By the way, he only raised $235 in the first 22 hours.
So he's well on his way.
So I don't think that people are jumping on board to help him out.
No.
Carol Baskin.
Oh, my God.
Killed her husband, whacked him. Can't convince me that it didn't happen. Fed him to tigers, they snacking. What's happening? Carol Baskin.
She's kind of gotten away with it, right? Like, it seems like she's able to skate and maybe got away with murder.
The only thing is, nothing's been proven,
so, you know.
They are apparently, that is still apparently an active investigation.
Okay.
But I tell you what, going back, and I wouldn't mind maybe perusing Tiger King, the original, again.
Yeah.
I really don't have an interest in the second one, but that series of clips of him from his quote-unquote TV show, where he would just, like, you know, shoot a mannequin, and the edits of him just saying effing Carol Baskin over and over
right,
it was just hilarious.
And the horrible green screen work.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Nick, you say that, dude. Is it because of something you saw in the second season of Tiger King? Or?
No. It seems from the outside looking in that she...
Because they're trying to do like a deeper dive into all of that in the second season. I gave up on it. So
I went three episodes in, two episodes maybe. I honestly found it boring.
Right. You know, she's out and about living her life, and Joe is in jail and, you know, dealing with the consequences.
Right. You need him out and about to really make it work. They should let him out on that alone. That it'd make great content.
Right.
The first one just struck a chord. It was just it just hit at the right time. It was so well done.
I mean, it was so well done. It was, at the start of all of this, the pandemic, there was this brand new show sitting there to be had, and that's why it actually kind of brought us back to sort of a lost vibe when we were able to talk about a show on the air.
Yeah, like can't wait to talk about the latest episode. All right, the iconic Luke, General Hospital character, previously portrayed by actor Anthony Geary, was killed off on January 3rd's episode of the longest-running soap opera in the United States. Now, he's not even on the show anymore.
Right. Jeannie Francis is.
Yes, but but his character's name would come up from time to time. So they finally killed him. On Monday's episode of the ABC daytime drama, Tracy Quartermain, played by Jane Elliott, revealed in a conversation with Spencer's ex-wife, Laura Collins, who is portrayed by Jeannie Francis, that the famed Port Charles resident had died in a cable car accident in Austria. They always do something big like that. He died in his sleep or anything like that. No.
He choked on a sandwich.
A cable car dropped from a, you know, it was a gondola and fell.
Oh, my God.
I'm assuming that's what it
is. Yeah, it has to be.
Unless
he choked on a sandwich while riding a cable car.
Later in the episode, the show hinted that Victor Cassadine, portrayed by Charles Shaughnessy, who, by the way, starred as Mr. Sheffield in The Nanny, may have been responsible for Spencer's death. Geary had retired from the role.
I strangled him.
In 2015, after 44 years on General Hospital, he first joined the cast in 1978, became well known as one half of the Luke and Laura power couple, going on to win a record 8 Emmy Awards for the role.
Would you say over the course of all soap operas that was the biggest story arc of all of them ever?
That episode that when they were getting married went down as, quote, the highest rated hour in American soap opera history. Wow. It was a record-shattering 30 million viewers when it aired in 1981 had watched that.
It's funny when you kind of go on a deep dive on shows of that time when it was not out of the realm of believability to get 50 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Now a show is considered crazy successful if it's 3 million.
Mm-hmm. Right.
5 million.
Yeah, those are like, you know, Super Bowl numbers.
Yeah.
For that. For daytime
for
television.
For daytime television.
So the couple had marked, by the way, 2021 last year marked the 40th anniversary of that on-screen wedding. Wow. So he's dead.
There we go.
The character is
poor guy.
Dead. Yep. All right. The show Cheer. When I first saw this story, I thought it was Cheers.
Yeah, no.
And I'm like, what is this about? But no, Cheer. You watch this, Marissa?
It's a reality show about cheerleaders.
Oh, okay. Well, Cheer star Jerry Harris is planning to become a motivational speaker, even though he's currently facing up to 30 years in prison for child pornography charges.
Oh,
yeah. According to Page Six's account.
Well, he's going to discount those tickets, by the way.
Of the Netflix show's second season, the eccentric cheerleader doesn't appear to realize the seriousness of the charges against him. In one episode, cheer coach Monica Aldama is caught off guard by a letter from Harris sent to her, and she said it was hard to read. She said his letter was so optimistic, like there was not one negative thing in this letter. He said that he hopes one day to be a motivational speaker. Harris pleaded not guilty to federal felony charges in Chicago that he attempted to lure minors for sex and share sexually explicit photos with them. Is this the one that's about that one? It takes place at a school.
It's a college program. You've never really heard of the college except for their cheerleaders.
Yes. Yeah. Rochelle was familiar with the school because of their cheer program. Like it's, you know, they're elite.
Yep.
So this guy's a part of that. I was not aware of this whole
pedophilia
behind the scenes story. Yeah, I was not aware of that. All right. Here's another reality show and criminal story. Mob Wives alum Renee Graziano was arrested for a drug-related DWI in Staten Island on Tuesday.
So they show a picture in the article that I was reading where they had, I think Big Ange was one of the people in the picture as well. You know, diamonds,
oh my
diamonds.
God.
They all have that look. They're like, Jamie's coming over. Right. We're going to have ZD tonight.
With the plastic surgery and all that stuff,
yes,
too?
Yes.
Because Big Ange was definitely over the top on that. Apparently NBC News reported that the 52-year-old former reality star was driving a 2021 Nissan Murano when she allegedly lost control and collided with a parked Jeep Wrangler. An NYPD spokesperson told the outlet that she appeared to be under the influence and was taken to the hospital for blood testing.
Here's a picture of her up in the studio, President.
Exactly.
The same look, right?
She was charged with a misdemeanor for operating a vehicle while visibly impaired by drugs. Now, I'm looking for another story that I didn't have in the entertainment report. I meant to put it in there, but Steve, you may have seen it. It's about a couple of celebrities out of France. I was not familiar with these guys.
The brothers.
Until I saw the pictures. They're twins. Here we go. Controversial French TV stars and famous twins, Igor and Grichka Bogdanov. Were inseparable in life and in death. They had refused to be vaccinated against coronavirus, believing their good health would save them, but had admitted to a hospital on the same day last month, diagnosed with COVID-19. And the younger twin, Grichka, died in an intensive care unit on the 28th. Igor followed him 6 days later on January 3rd. They were 72 years old, by the way.
They were 72. So they became popular. I guess they did kind of like a Mr. Science show.
Yes.
And so they'd wear these sort of space jumpsuits and so on and so forth. They were two pretty decent looking guys. Then they got addicted to plastic surgery.
And
they look,
you know what they look like? They look like the Purge mask.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. They look like
Purge mask.
That initial mask from the movie Purge. That's what their faces
and they both up, did it.
Like. Yes.
What
they
kills
did.
Me is that they were constantly under the knives, constantly getting chopped up. You know, what are they talking about their health?
Yeah, exactly. So they had prompted, it says, in the story I read at one point, Steve, it says, later the two prompted speculation that they had undergone cosmetic surgery.
Oh, yeah?
As their prominent cheekbones and facial features became even more pronounced. But they denied ever having surgery.
Come on!
It's however, just a little bit of filler.
Seeking, as always, to maintain...
Jesus, that's ridiculous. Look at these guys.
An air of mystery. They said they had experimented with unnamed technologies to enhance their
features. Of course.
Features.
Yeah, right. I said the same thing.
But, I saw the picture. When I saw the story, I saw the headline. And then I saw the picture. I'm like, whoa, man.
Yeah. But I wonder, what doctor, I mean, how do you allow, say, yes, I'm going to do this for you?
Well, they F with their faces so much that I didn't know how old they were. I mean, looking at them, I was like, when you said 72, I was like, oh,
let me ask you.
I didn't realize that they look younger.
Do you want to be 72 looking like that?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Every time is pudding served.
Wow. So, they both passed away, so. Jana Duggar has pled guilty to third-degree count of endangering welfare of a minor in Arkansas. According to court documents, the 19 kids and counting star entered a plea on December 15th. As a result, she must pay fines and fees totaling $880. Last month, she explained on social media that the charge stems from an incident that happened while she was babysitting. She claims one of the children slipped out of the house alone while her back was turned for a moment, and a passerby called the police. So that's what was behind all of that.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know, my daughters, they want to do babysitting. I'm like, you know what, man, I don't recommend it. I look at like the bigger picture, and there's a lot that can go wrong, and I don't want you to be responsible for that.
Well,
you know?
Isn't that a good way though to learn responsibility?
I don't want them to learn it at the expense of somebody else's like safety and welfare. Like,
did you, Marissa? Did you ever babysit?
Oh, I babysat a lot. Yeah, and I think
I know Kathy did a ton.
They were older. I think the kids I babysat, we didn't have a huge gap. It was more just kind of like parents were going out to dinner.
Right.
I stayed and watched them.
You were the narc.
Yes. Yeah. No, barely. Yeah. I was probably causing more trouble than
selling,
they were.
Yeah, yeah.
And they weren't young. I think the youngest at the time was maybe in like fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah,
so
I
they
think
could...
that's, I almost feel like that's more dangerous.
Yeah, I don't know. But
the
it's
more
also...
they can get around, the more I'm like, I don't know if I want you to be responsible for that.
When Preston started talking about this, I'm thinking the Duggars, and there's like 12 kids. Like, that's hard for one babysitter to be watching that. But there's so many people out there that have, you know, learned a responsibility and gone into, you know, nursing or school teaching or something because they learned how to care for kids this way.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. But anyhow, moving on, this is a follow-up story. Emma Watson has responded to the Harry Potter 20th anniversary mix-up that replaced her childhood photo with one of Emma Roberts. Instead of Emma Watson, it was Emma Roberts. It does look a lot like her.
It is. It's close.
She was a little kid with the photo of Emma Roberts. The Beauty and the Beast star shared a picture on Instagram Wednesday writing, "I was not this cute." So she had hashtagged it Emma Sisters Forever.
A lot of people now are watching that special, that two-hour special, and I'm getting a response back, you know, when we talked about it on air. Honestly, it's beautifully done.
It is.
It is great.
It recaptures the magic, and you can see how much they loved doing
it. I want to go to the Wizarding World again at Universal.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, so you can, in Europe, Nick, you would know better than I would, you can go to the sets are still there, right? Some of them are.
And a lot of places where they filmed in and around London. And, and there are, like, Harry Potter tours that you can take where you're seeing, all right, they shot, you know, the bank scene in this. I think it's, like, the Australian embassy or something like that. But anyway, yeah, all of those things exist all over the place there.
Wow. Chris Evans is in talks to step into the shoes of legendary actor Gene Kelly.
Love Gene Kelly.
In a developing film project produced by John Logan, according to Variety. The untitled film is based on Evans' original idea in which a 12-year-old boy who works on the MGM lot in the 1950s finds an imaginary friend in Kelly while working on his newest film. Though a studio is not yet attached to the project, Evans is set to produce the film alongside Logan, who is also writing the script. The three-time Oscar nominee Logan, his credits include penning Ridley Scott's Gladiator, Martin Scorsese's The Aviator, and Tim Burton's Sweeney Todd, and the James Bond movie Skyfall. So
that's done a good pedigree. Well. Yeah.
Evans has a stacked 2022 ahead of him. By the way, his current projects include the animated film Lightyear, in which he will voice the iconic Toy Story character Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
So he's going to be taking on
that. He's playing a younger Buzz Lightyear, is he not?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I assume.
Yeah. It's while he's learning how to go to infinity and beyond.
Right.
Okay.
So it's before he teams up with Woody.
And he is also starring in The Gray Man, which is about a former CIA agent turned fugitive who is hunted down by his former colleague.
Is that man Gray?
Ryan Gosling will be in that as well. So it's Attack of the Good-Looking Guys.
Yes,
of that particular movie.
He's got a cameo in Don't Look Up as well, Chris Evans.
He's forgotten.
There's a scene where they talk about a blockbuster movie that's coming out.
Oh.
And he's dressed and he's got goatee and glasses. And, yeah, he's playing this guy who's, you know, just trying to put out a popcorn movie.
That's right.
But like in the Hawkeye series, at the beginning of it, they're attending a
musical.
Yeah.
So did you watch the after credits?
Oh, yes, I did.
At the end?
Yeah,
it's fantastic. Yeah. Moving on, another replacement, the Crown actress, Vanessa Kirby, has stepped in to replace Jodie Comer in Ridley Scott's historical drama Kitbag, which is about Napoleon.
Can't you keep in your car?
No, it's about Napoleon.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Comer, who enjoyed the strongest year of her career.
And here's my cellophane blanket.
In 2021 with the release of Help, The Last Duel and Free Guy, which was forced to drop out over scheduling conflicts, which meant the filmmaker needed a source of a new Josephine Bonaparte to appear opposite Joaquin Phoenix's Napoleon.
On a side note, on Jeopardy last night, I think they misled all those contestants with a Napoleon-ish question. It was about the category was islands,
right?
And they bring up Napoleon's name. Oh, you know, when Napoleon was born, blah blah blah. This island. The answer was, you would think, Elba.
No.
It was Corsica.
Yeah, I got it right.
Did you?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a trick question.
It was,
it was about
BS.
His birth, not about... No, it wasn't a BS.
It's a total BS question.
No, it was about his birth, not his death.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Not only that...
And I got it right, too.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You're lying. Yeah, everybody's lying.
I got it wrong, Casey.
All right, thank
not
you.
Not everybody got it right.
Not only that, it was also one of the earlier numbered ones. It's not like it was a $2,000 question. It was like a $400 or $600
but
question.
Every now and then, they'll throw you a bit of a curveball.
Nah.
It was more about the transition of the island from France to Italy or Italy to France or whatever. And, so it threw you off. You got it wrong.
Threw everybody off.
Well, not everybody.
Except for you. And you, apparently.
Yes. No. Sometimes, listen, that's the great thing about Jeopardy is the way the questions are asked will help you divine the answer. Mm-hmm. However, that one, it might have been a little bit of a mislead, but I was fine with it since I got it.
Yeah, you got to pay close attention.
Did you get the Mummers question right?
Of course I did.
No one on the Jeopardy contestants.
Now, I missed the first, I missed a single Jeopardy, the first half of, of the beginning. What was the Mummers question?
I'll pull it up for you.
There were, okay, yeah, see if you can find it.
Go to Jackie Bam Bam's Instagram. It's first picture on
yesterday's
It was last night.
Yeah. What was the category?
Parades. Yeah, and so it is, let's see.
First picture.
Yep. This Philadelphia New Year's parade is named for its costumes, its costumed entertainers, a tradition dating back to ancient Egypt. Yeah, and it was all about parades. The whole category was parades around the country. Nobody got that one right.
That's an easy one. But it's, you know, not everybody knows about it nationally. So it's our thing.
I didn't know it dated back to ancient Egypt.
Me neither.
No? Yeah. I had no idea. By the way, going back to this film, this Napoleon film, it examines Napoleon's military work and eventual ascension to emperorship while also covering his addictive and often volatile relationship with his wife and one true love, Josephine.
Does it cover him creating the dessert?
No, not that I know
of. That should be a large part. That should be the way Bohemian Rhapsody was part of the movie.
Yes.
They should show him creating the dessert.
All right, one last story. Chris Knopf has reportedly been removed from the season finale of And Just Like That. The February 3rd episode originally featured a scene where Big appeared to Carrie as she scattered his ashes into the Seine River. Sources tell her the outlet that the show's creative team decided the footage of Noth was not integral to the scene. The move comes 3 weeks after he was accused of sexual assault by multiple
women. Killed him off in the first episode on a Peloton, so right.
Allegations that the actor has denied. Yeah, but they were going to have him come back in for that last scene.
Hey, kid. Like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's a running theme throughout the whole thing. It's all about him.
Okay. We're ready for clips. Here we go. When a Cambodian doctor comes to the U.S. to help her ailing son, she becomes a cleaning lady for organized crime in The Cleaning Lady. And in this clip, actress Martha Millen talks about what drew her to the role. Here we go.
For me, first and foremost, it was, you know, centered on the Filipino culture and the fact that I could actually, you know, play a Filipino role. I've played Filipino roles in the past, but to actually play one that is, you know, consistently throughout the series as a series regular was just incredible.
Want me to wet the leaves on your ficus tree, presto?
By the way, Steve, when I see the title Cleaning Lady, I was thinking of... Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Cleaning Woman! Cleaning Woman!
It's this ongoing theme in the movie.
It turns him into a raving lunatic when he hears that.
Anybody says the word cleaning woman, he goes crazy and starts killing him.
Father cheated on his mother with the cleaning woman, right? Was that how it went?
I don't remember why, if they even address it or if they just kept it.
Cleaning Woman!
The Cleaning Lady is streaming on Fox now. Here's our next clip. The search for true love among a number of candidates spanning over several weeks continues in the newest season of The Bachelor.
Riveting!
In this clip, newest Bachelor, Clayton Eckerd, talks about how he approached his search. Here we go.
You know, I went in and I had maybe a checklist of sorts. I was looking for somebody that was funny, intelligent, driven, put forth effort. And so I figured, okay, like that's a good list and hopefully I'll find that. Well, what I found was very quickly the women blew my expectations out of the water. They brought all of that and so much more.
Shut up, dummy.
You can watch season 26 of The Bachelor on ABC.
So I got some notes. Apparently, going back to this Buzz Lightyear movie that's coming out with Chris Evans, it's based on a character, a quote-unquote real person, and then the Tim Allen character, Buzz Lightyear, is the toy based on that guy.
Oh.
So this is a story of an astronaut who goes into space, and then they make a toy about him.
Oh.
And so it's the origin story of how they got to make a toy.
So it is a prequel of sorts.
Exactly, yeah.
I like that, nice. All right, well, welcome if you're just joining us. We have a beautiful colored sky sunrise this morning as we're beginning, which is great because we haven't seen
it. Have you seen the sunrise this morning?
We haven't seen the sun.
You know, it's your charge to entertain the people of Philadelphia. Every Monday through Friday. Embrace the colors and the various hues and take it forward into your program. Give away lots of wonderful prizes and make people chuckle. And don't forget to educate them as well.
Thank you, Gandalf. Thank you very much. It actually, looking at the clouds, it almost looks like the bands of Jupiter.
Yeah.
Going across the gas giant. It's just gorgeous.
It does look very cool.
Last night's sunset was beautiful too. We get these
gorgeous Preston.
Winter has great sunrises. It does. And sunsets.
And there's the smog or the whatever, the haze clears out.
Yes.
You can see it all.
When all of the pollution.
You're jumping in here. What would you have to say?
I was going to ask people to, wherever they're standing right now, take a photo and tweet it at us.
Okay.
I want to see what sunrise looks like to you right now.
All right.
Put it on Instagram, tag us.
Beautiful. It's all about the social media. Yeah.
I just like sunrise photos.
All right, we have some stuff going on this morning. We're going to have matchmaker Steve Ward on the program. If you are single, you definitely want to stay with us. He's going to be on around 9 o'clock because he has some good ideas.
It's his industry.
It's what he does. Yep, exactly. We also have a concert announcement. We'll get that close to 9 o'clock as well, probably. We'll see about that and more. Mm-hmm. So we'll break and be back in just a second. Make sure you stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked. Foo Fighters.
Love,
Lilith Czar. Code Orange.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
You know what we need to do?
What?
We need to stroll the campus. It's time for the Just Sayin' Institute visit this morning, friends.
The Just Sayin' Institute, home of the newly opened Bureau of Monitoring Integrity in Napoleon Clues, featured on Jeopardy.
We have Casey's the head of that department, by the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I have some stats and studies and so on to share with you that I think are very interesting. And this one I like a lot. There's a new study that suggests that skateboarding can help down and out Gen Xers or even those battling substance abuse issues by boosting their moods. And they're recommending that people that are, you know, getting older, maybe try skateboarding if you're getting bored.
They kind of sell these weird things that sort of simulate or look like something akin to a skateboard. Bob Eubanks does a commercial for this thing.
I have not seen what you speak of.
You stand on it, and it rocks back and forth, and it almost looks like you have ski poles or whatever. I guess it's for people who are losing their sense of balance as you get older.
I got to see this.
Yeah, and okay. So it's to me, it kind of reminds me of like skateboarding or that thing, Nick, you fell off of that time. That
the Black Mountain.
Right,
yeah. Whatever, yeah, that was a good moment. You know who's a big proponent of this is Jeff Ament of Pearl Jam. He's the bassist for Pearl Jam, and he's been building these skate parks in impoverished areas because it just helps people get out and do something that's productive and good for mental health and good for physical health. And I think I made some progress yesterday on getting Jeff to be on the show next week.
Oh, so, yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
And we can bring this up to him.
Yes.
So research has revealed that the pastime allows the middle-aged to cope with depression and stress while also offering a potential common ground for parents to bond with their kids. And I can totally see this, man, because even though skateboarding is not my thing, roller skating and ice skating is something I love.
You dig it,
to
huh?
Do and wish I did more of. I find it very freeing. It's great exercise, and it's all I got to do is go do it. You know, you can go. There are places to go. I just need to get the motivation to go and do it.
So I get this, that sort of balancing thing. And when I trail run, you know, and I'm sort of parkouring it around an irregular trail, that's where I get it. I think it is cool. It's good. And it does keep you feeling energized and the endorphins are released.
There's something about gliding. There's something about that sensation of
king of the world.
Of gliding that's just kind of freeing.
I'm not very good at roller skating. My girlfriend is, and so she started doing this 2 or 3 years ago, and I tried joining her, and what I find frustrating is my inability to get to be as good as she is as quickly as she is. And so I put myself down, which is stupid. I just need to relax and enjoy it better.
We need to keep doing it.
And keep
You'll
doing
get better.
It too. Yeah. And I didn't do it much last year, but I want to start trying again. I also want to get out to Spring Mountain where they have that skating rink, that outdoor skating rink. Yeah. Yep.
Nick, I suck at it all.
Do you?
Well, I'm giggling because my boyfriend literally was an X Games rollerblader and he got me rollerblades and we were trying to like do it as exercise and just going on a trail and he would just like stop every every like 30 feet. And I was like, I'm coming.
Yeah, I'm coming along. You just got it. You just have to stick with it. Yeah. I mean, even if your balance isn't that good, eventually you get to where you're okay at it.
But even in the city, I see so many people using skateboards or rollerblades, not only as exercise, but just like modes of transportation, like down the bike lane.
So sociological researcher Dr. Paul O'Connor said that the activity can invoke spiritual meaning for those who engage in the sport by also providing a new avenue of self-expression. An endeavor that often takes a back seat as adults and parents. He said people are often saying that skateboarding is a lifeline and sanity for them. He said it gives them a creative outlet and a chance to reconnect with the freedom of youth. And he also believes that the nature of skateboarding, which celebrates failure, the falls, as part of growth, may help adults loosen up and enjoy the ride, as it were, and seem to do so better than other sports or exercise. He said in some cases he saw grown men fighting back tears as they were speaking about it, like it impacted their life so much.
Huh.
I can't wait to go skateboarding.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine.
I knew.
I have a friend of mine. He's my age, and he skated when he was younger, and like now he still will go down to like FDR Park. And the funny thing is he is, you know, like 45 years old. So most of the skaters there aren't there at 6 o'clock in the morning, but you know, he gets up early and he goes there and he's got the whole park to
himself. That's awesome.
I totally see the idea of a connection. To me, also for the people who just always had a skateboard with them, that is a nostalgic reminder of your past. Yeah. But it also, it's that thing. It's like, you know, it connects you to something that you enjoy. And I think the notion was after a while, all right, you give that up now. You know, you're not Tony Hawk.
Right.
You know, but
right.
No.
But you don't have to be. Exactly. And so there was that video of that guy drinking the Ocean Spray cranberry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was just this song playing in the background. There was so much to that video that I loved. I mean, it was... like, the audio was great.
It was full frontal?
Full frontal. No, but that whole gliding thing.
Yes, See, I don't...
The glide.
I don't... Glide. What was the last time I got something like that, gliding effect? I mean, bike riding.
A bike can give you that sensation as well. Yeah. It really can.
I have a longboard.
And I can jump off the high dive.
I have a longboard that it's a stand-up... it's a handboard.
Do you like it? I know you guys were talking about the that was the big thing for a while.
I was never a skater, so it took me. I can do it, and I'm fine at it. I don't have the confidence that I wish I.
I don't.
Could have
I
that.
Think those things are a little boring, personally. Yeah. But some people love them, man. Mm-hmm. The stand up paddle boards. I didn't.
Oh no! It's a skateboard though.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that.
A stand up skateboard, it has like essentially a paddle for it.
Yeah. Okay.
And how long is it?
Like
a long one?
4 feet?
4 or 5 feet,
4 or 5 feet. It's really long.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. We talked about it before. I like the motorized thing that's the big wheel in the middle. It's basically like
One wheel.
Yeah. One wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. My neighbor has one.
They're like $2,000.
Oh, really?
Have you ever tried one?
They're expensive.
Yeah. I have no idea.
But I would love to. Yeah, they're really expensive.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, my neighbor has one, and he is a former, like, X Game level rollerblader as well. He actually knows your boyfriend.
Oh.
So... He actually, like, I would never do that. Like, he...
We're looking at one up on the board here, Casey.
$2,250.
Huh?
Yeah. All right, let me go to some calls. I have Josh. Hey, Josh, good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. Josh, what's up, buddy?
Well, being an early millennial born in 87, I used to skateboard. That was my entire life as a kid. And now, you know, stopped doing it once I got my license, like everybody else does. And now that I have kids, my oldest being 8, you know, we started going back out again. And it does. It makes you feel really, really good to get back out and do something you used to do so much as a, you know, a younger person.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I guess the one issue is, you know, there are no issues. Damn it. Go do it. I think for a lot of people, that's like the, in case you with the bike riding.
And it was like roller skating for me. When we first took them to a roller skating rink, and I'm like, yes. I'm like, this brings back a lot of memories. the sensation itself is a lot of fun, but also the nostalgia of it. And I'm like, I'm buying my own skates.
You know what you can do too? Just go to a local elementary school and wander around.
No, yeah. I would say
walk
no.
Inside, go through the doors,
just walk around, and take deep breaths and go.
I think that would be nostalgic too, but would also land you in jail.
Steve,
probably.
Yeah,
Josh, what were you going to say?
I'll say this much. Being that I got back into it, I did have my hardest slam that ended up having to go get x-rays once I started skateboarding again.
Yeah, so, you have to remember that part of it. Yeah,
you don't bounce it back anymore.
Appreciate it, buddy.
The mistake you make will end up ruining the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You're not made of rubber like you used to be.
I'm going to go to Chris. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up, my man?
Not much. So I saw this article late last night, and I didn't have time to read through it, but I definitely wanted to call in. So I'm 40. I still skate. I started skating probably when I was like 8 or 9 years old, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been the one thing constantly throughout my life that has brought joy.
Dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. And
even now, just getting out, you know, I can't obviously do all the same stuff that I used to be able to do, but just getting out and pushing around or maybe finding a hill to bomb, you know, goes a long way for the mental health.
You know, it's funny, anything like that helps you tie into, that gives you, Preston, golf, even though you're not getting that gliding thing.
Playing drums.
These are things that are your release. They're the little spices to the quality of your life.
Chris,
you gotta have something like that.
Chris, what's your tastiest move, man?
Oh, God. Nowadays, not much. But, you know, I was all right back in the day.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
You
thanks, Chris. Right.
You don't appreciate have to it. Have the tastiest, like, craziest move. Listen, I was a diver as a kid. And so, like, while I'm not doing...
It sounded like that.
You know, 2.5s or a full twisting 1.5s. My favorite is just doing a gainer. Like, it's just one flip, but you can do it with style, you know, like... Yeah.
Yeah. Steve, you saw the Walter Mitty, the one with...
Absolutely. Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller.
Yeah, yeah.
As a kid, he was a skater. And, and that comes into play later
right,
in the movie.
Right, yeah.
It's so great seeing him get back.
Re-embrace that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I was a kid, you know, I did have a skateboard. I got run over by a car, and then I never got another one until, like, I think I was in college. So riding my bicycle was my main... And only mode of transportation, you know, aside from getting a ride from my parents. And my kids don't have that. Like, they don't. They have bikes. They don't ride them the way we used to when we were kids. It was how I got everything.
Let's back that up a step. Mm-hmm. When I got run over by a car.
No. The skateboard got run over by a car.
Oh, okay.
My friend Matt was riding it.
It crushed all my ribs. It was a Humvee.
I was like, wait a minute. Did I hear that?
It was a Valterra King Cobra. I got it for my 10th birthday, and I think I had it for maybe like 2 or 3 weeks. And
to that point about, Casey, what you're saying about the bicycle or the skateboard or anything, it was a sense of freedom. It was your first personal, you know, again, whether you're using it as a mode of transportation, it was a social thing. You know, to hear people re-embrace that and get more from it now is very cool.
I will go to Doug next. Hi, Doug. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yeah, buddy.
Eugene.
Maybe the first one of those we've had. What's up, Doug?
Eugene. I've been skateboarding 24 years.
Yeah.
And basically, I owe my entire life to it. I know friends that they're fighters. They've done, you know, martial arts and everything. And they've said that skateboarding has taught them more discipline than anything else in the world.
Really?
Same with me. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld once said, whenever you see a skater, leave them alone. They're going to be fine. Because how many times they have to fail to know how to do it right? Later on in life, they're going to be just fine.
Okay, so it's interesting that you said discipline, Doug, because I view skating as lack of discipline.
That's the thing. Everyone knocks it, and it's because you don't understand it. It is, to sum up skateboarding in one word, would be freedom.
So
there's no set of rules of tricks that you have to do, like baseball, football. You can literally do it anywhere you want, anytime you want.
So you are disciplined in your freedom to do anything at all.
I think you're talking about the actual mechanics of it, as opposed to your sort of freedom with it, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like it taught me everything. Like if I ever was failing
to find a job or something like that. All right, well, I keep doing it the same way. All right, I need to go about it differently.
Yeah.
And that's what skateboarding is.
Yeah, if you keep
doing it the same exact way and you're not landing it,
yes,
because you need to switch it up.
If you can associate your hobbies and things like that to the way you approach it and back into your personal life and so on, that's a great bridge of how to go about learning.
Yeah,
And learning from your mistakes.
Right.
You know?
It's an essential part. It'll really embellish your life, and you're never... Like, we were talking about this yesterday. You were talking about going to a clinic because you have venereal disease. No, a golf clinic. Right. And that you've been playing all this time to a degree of proficiency and then realizing you were making
some
foundational
errors. Fundamental mistakes.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
when you're a kid, you don't realize that. You just keep hawking yourself off things and then just praying to God everything works out.
Right.
When you're older, you're like, oh, wait, I was doing it wrong. And things start to click a lot easier.
That's cool.
Things also hurt a lot longer.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that they have more.
Thank you, Doug.
More places for these guys to go and skate, these, you know, recreational skate parks and stuff like that. Because when I was coming up, they were hanging out at the Pathmark parking lot. There were more things to grind on in those types of parking lots, bank parking lots, supermarket parking lots, and they get chased out of those places, and rightfully so. You know, it's
now if you buy the commercial real estate, you can do your own skateboard. Yeah. Now I know what you're saying, but then now there's more places that clearly embrace this, right?
Yeah.
Are there?
No, I mean. Are you talking about public places, like supermarket parking lots, or
like actual places designed for?
Yeah, yeah. Like the skate parks.
Exactly.
There are. We didn't have those growing up. Like there were no skate parks in around my area. They just didn't exist, and now they're all over the place.
Here's an interesting text. You know, I'd said that in this story that I read that this guy said that sometimes he finds grown adults, men who will bring them to tears when they talk about it. This text says, this is an incredibly touching break, guys. I'm 33 and skateboarding built my life. House, kids, whole nine. Skateboarding is a sacred topic. Thank you.
When you...
surfing, too.
It is.
So people like that can become spiritual, I guess.
Dr. Mike always jokes about it. Like, he will write a prescription for doing something you love that gets you energized, that gets you engaged and plugged in. And a lot of times you think these are... As you get older, these are frivolous pursuits. You know, this is something that I know. Does it bring you joy? You know, unless I just love making meth. Okay, there's a case to be made that that's something you should not be pursuing. But otherwise, these things are, again, I keep saying quality of life issues. What are you living for if you can't find something to embrace this, like this texter said?
Yeah.
Look at how important this is to him.
Yeah, and if you don't have that thing, keep looking.
Yes.
And I hope you find that thing.
Sometimes just working on being good at finding things is an art unto itself.
Yep.
You guys should all watch Dear Writer, which is the Jake Burton documentary on HBO. And there are grown men sobbing in this because Jake changed their life and the sport changed their life. And there's this community that just didn't exist until they brought it to life.
We got a surfboard for Christmas.
Ooh.
Yeah. Are you going to try?
I've done it a couple times, you know, when we've taken vacations and gone to, you know, locations that have... surfing. I've gone out and taken a goofy little lesson in a couple hours, and that's. But I'm going to try it because we happen to live right on a surfing beach, and why not? You know, my body. And I told Casey, cracked me the hell up. I told him I was kicking around the idea of doing it, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to get out there and muck things up for the locals and so on. And Casey goes, dude, it's not like War Child is out there trying to surf the break.
It's
all right?
Not. It's not at all. Did you go to Kona? Did you get your surfboard?
Yeah,
Kona?
Kona. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nice people.
But look at Jackson.
We got a skimboard too. Yeah.
Jackson loves surfing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, doesn't he do it kind of year round? Doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah.
He does. Oh, man. There was a great, Wildwood had a really great Instagram post when it was snowing down there.
Yeah.
They had a guy in a full on, like, winter wetsuit. Walking through the snowstorm, over the boardwalk onto the beach.
That's crazy.
Like, that's those guys love that. Stuff.
Listen, like I know, like when you love it, and I can tell, like the hikes that I would go on, and they go on, and I enjoy, even no matter how brutal the weather is, just getting out and doing it is so liberating.
I will go play golf when it's freezing cold and I'm by myself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and while I'm doing it, I'll go, what am I doing here? Yeah. Why am I doing this?
But it feels cooler. Like, I did the same thing.
There's nobody out there, you know?
I rode my bike last year a lot in the cold, cold weather, like 20, 30 degrees. And a lot of people will stop once it gets below 60. Yeah. And but it was weird because I'm like, I'm not supposed to be doing this, but I'm doing it anyway. Really doing it, aren't we, buddy? and it felt good. And so you probably have that sort of feeling, like, I shouldn't be out here, but I'm out here anyway because I love it that much.
Let me get some other calls. I'm going to go to Dan. Hi, Dan. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks to you, buddy. What's up?
All right, well, a lot of these, like, you don't have to go out and do tricks to enjoy skating. Like, I'm 49 now, and me and my daughter's 18, we have longboards. And we just cruise the neighborhood on them, so you don't have to be out doing tricks to enjoy skating.
Right. Yeah, you can just go for a ride, you know?
Those longboards cruise, man. Like, yeah. You don't have to kick as much, and you find a good hill and a nice paved street, and you can just enjoy the day, man. It's a lot of fun.
Dan, cool. Do you think the longboard is an easier thing to pick up than a regular skateboard, or harder?
No, I would think it's actually easier because they're bigger and they're easier to steer. Like, the little boards, they're made for tricks, and they're a little tighter, and the wheels are smaller, so... When you're hitting, like, little rocks on the ground, it can send you flying. But the longboards, they have street tires, like, street wheels, not tires. Street wheels on them, and they're softer, and they have, you know, the same bearings and all, but they're just a softer wheel, and you can just cruise a lot better.
All right. I tried my issue with inline skating, which I really looks like so much fun, and I tried a few times. There are some things that I will sit there and meticulously dissect and build it and do it because obviously that's where a passion is. And then if it's something that I go, I want to get, like, I think it's like you, Nick, I want to get to that point. Oh, I'm not liking these steps along the way. Right. And also the fact that when I put on skates, I look like Herman Munster learning to dance. and then with the pads and stuff like that, it looks like this human was not built for skates.
Well, we do have a standing offer from Bob Kelly of the Flyers alumni that he'll take you skating if you ever want to go, Steven. And I am the same way. When I go ice skating, it takes me a day of ice skating to remember how to do it again. I'll have to be out there for
I've never even learned
2 hours. Well, it's just learning how to balance differently.
Right.
And while I'm out there, I'm grabbing the rails and I need to get going. But then once I get there and then that part of your brain clicks, where you're like, oh, right, my brain does know how to do this. My feet and legs do know how to do this. And then you're going to fall a few times. But, like, you have to accept that there's going to be failures as
Would
well.
I be considered a pussy if I was out there with that? They have, like, that walker thing?
Nope. No,
Is that, okay? Is that, if you're out there on the ice?
It's a little kiddish, definitely.
What if I act really slow?
You could do that. But, no, listen, there's, you know, you're having fun. Who cares?
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, if you're just tuning in, this researcher has said that for middle-aged people, something to consider, and it's some people who get on board find it to be life-changing, is to try skateboarding. He had said skateboarding provides a serious emotional outlet for people who have experienced personal trials and the collapse of long-term relationships, career challenges, parenthood, and substance abuse. He studied middle-aged skateboarders in Hong Kong and the UK, interviewing 30 of them to understand what they get out of it. His findings, dubbed Identity and Well-Being in Older Skateboarders, were published in the research text Lifestyle, Sports, and Identity. So it was a study that was done recently.
I like the message.
We got so many people checking in. Let me go to some other calls here. Let's see. I have Patrick, who we're going to go to. Yo, Patrick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, man. What's up? Hey.
So I'm from Philly. Lived there for 23 years from birth. And then I moved down to Chattanooga. And I worked for Amazon for a little bit, and I actually met some friends there who rollerbladed, and I got some skates down here, and then I'm used to ice skating, so I figured I'd pick it up quick. And now every summer we get together, and like every week, I'll just call them up and be like, hey, you guys want to skate? And we'll go out and skate. And I've met a lot of lifelong friends there, like at the Riverwalk and stuff.
That's a cool thing. Yeah. That's a community. It's like, Casey, your bike, you know, your cyclist community, Preston, with the multiple things that you're involved with, Nick with the hiking and stuff, and Marissa with the dinner on Blanc. No, but all that stuff is stuff where you're part of a collective and you have a common thing that you enjoy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, it definitely brought me some friends that I really cherish. You know, now through it, and I'm definitely meeting a lot more people too.
just through rollerblading and stuff. And you don't see many rollerbladers down here. But when I do, you know, I'm like, hey, nice skates. And, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good for you, Patrick.
I do have to say, though, that 40, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds are a lot cooler today than they were when I was a kid. Do you know what I mean?
It's funny how when you start to become those ages, you come to that realization.
Yeah, but I didn't see. Those adults weren't out there and doing all that stuff.
Cases, like, years ago, there seemed to be a mad rush. I remember when I was in college for people to just that's kid stuff. Like, I think now there's such, and again, you don't want to be forever a 9-year-old, mm-hmm. but you want, there's nothing wrong with embracing the things you enjoyed years ago. And it seemed like that was kind of verboten decades ago.
Mark Norman has a great bit about, he's on a Netflix special now. It's the stand up, so he's got a half hour. But he just talks about how, like, the grown ups today are more like the kids, and the kids are more like the grown ups now. because, the medical marijuana, are like, grown ups are openly doing that stuff. They're gaming, they're doing all these things that, like, normal teenagers are doing.
It's kind of true. By the way, I want to put this out to a couple of younger guys I ran into and throw this message out there, because I was at my where I play golf and these guys were coming out. I was walking in, they were like, recognize me, and they're like, hey. I go, yeah, do you guys play here much? They're like, yeah, dude, we play here like 50 times a year. We play every Sunday. And they were kind of like, you want to play golf with us? We play early Sunday morning. I'm like, yeah, send me an email. I haven't heard from them yet.
What?
So guys, email me. Well, it's really too cold to go out and play, at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday.
You would do it.
But I'm definitely interested. I definitely would like to meet up and play golf sometime. So getting out and meeting people, that's part of these types of things that can become that if you want that from it.
I think it's very helpful to look at life in general that way, to find those things that bring you joy.
Well, let's go to Dave's got a good example, because he tried the skateboarding, didn't work out. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. All right, Dave, you've got an interesting story. What's that?
I was a skater back starting in the early 90s. And did it up until my 20s. And in 2012, I became an amputee because of a motorcycle accident.
Okay.
I tried getting back on the board, but it was like the most dangerous joke on the street.
Did you lose? Was it a lower body or upper body amputation?
It's my lower left leg.
Okay. Yeah, that's got to be hard, man.
I couldn't feel kicking.
Yeah.
And, but, I was a little down because skating was, like, one of the biggest things in my life. It, I had that community around me. I always had that feel. It was like a small pocket planet of just skaters. And another thing I used to do when I was younger was paintball. And I started taking up paintball again and found a team, found the community again, that just feeling to belong and just do something that I love. And I am now 44 years old. I'm out there at 6 in the morning on Sundays with guys half my age.
Yeah.
Dave, that's awesome. You could actually combine both and shoot skaters.
That's a great idea.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like a duck game.
Yeah.
It's just him participating. He's the only one doing that sport. But
God, I wonder if they've ever combined.
Who's your shooter?
We need to do a whole other segment on combining sports.
Combining sports.
That's a great idea.
Yes.
Okay,
I'm going to
write that down.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dave. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you later.
See, are you finding, I'm finding such joy in hearing people tap into these things.
Totally.
I did paintball with, my buddy, Howie Long, his son had a birthday party, and it was a paintball party. Near that inline 309 place, Brad.
Yes, Howie Long Jr.?
Yeah. Howie Long Jr.
I know the exact. I've been to that paintball place, and it's escaping. The name of it's escaping my mind.
I had a blast because it was like, hey, you can come out and play if you want to. And so me and the other dad, we went out and played, and I was lighting these kids up. And I told him beforehand, I go, I'm not taking it easy on you. Don't take on me. I'm gonna fire you guys up. And I did, and I had a great time. The only problem I had was, I was sweating so much that my goggles were fogging up.
See? Yeah, that's hard. I hate when that happens. Yes. Mm-hmm. You should go to Harper Lee Laser Tag. That's a great place.
And you can't take your headgear off or they'll kick you out.
Yep.
Yeah, so you had to deal with fogged up.
Is it called Outdoor Extreme in Hatfield?
That's it.
Okay.
Yep. All right, let me go to Erica. Hi there, Erica. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Yeah, so I just, after 20 years, I decided to take up tennis again.
Okay.
You know, I played in high school for a little bit, wasn't that great. And to my surprise, I'm actually way better now than I was 20 years ago.
Isn't that a great thing to find? Don't worry, though. I played tennis, and I've loved tennis for all my life. Tennis has a way of reminding you that you still are not very good at it. So even though you've hit this, but it doesn't matter that you're finding and you're finding joy. Now, are you just you go? You know, they have the handball wall, and you can hit balls against that. Or are you actively playing with a lot of teams or leagues? Or what are you doing?
You know what? I'm like dabbing into everything: private lessons, clinics. Cool. I haven't done leagues yet, but I'm finding at 20 years later, I'm a lot more confident in myself, and I don't really give a crap what people think on the course. So you just...
That's the way. Yeah, that's the way to do it, Erica. That's awesome.
You do it at your own way. You don't have to follow the rules.
I think more importantly is that my kids see that I found a passion. You know, that it's okay for parents to go do stuff for themselves
a couple
times a week. And, like, now my kids really want to play tennis, and they're seeing that it's important to find something and to, you know, do it for yourself.
When I was a kid, I remember when I saw my father rediscover the joy of being a pimp, and my mother working for him on the streets, and they got to spend time together. They had a group. It was great.
Yeah. We talked about this not too long ago, but my buddy Brian, he's 47. He is playing pickleball now.
Yes.
And
pickleball is very popular.
And he loves it, and a lot of senior citizens are playing it, but he's found joy in it.
Oh, you can crush him.
They play it a lot of times in the gym. I go to the Y, and they have a gym there, and they have half of the gym is set up for pickleball. And so I see these, and I'm like, I could go do that.
I could do pickleball. I could break the limbs on these old pricks.
They've got leagues in Wildwood, Casey.
Yes, they do.
From Wildwood Crest, actually. Mm-hmm. I go by there all the time, and I'm like, I wonder. And I pitched it to Rochelle a couple times. 0 feet.
Preston.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Preston, surfing.
That looks like fun.
Surfing pickleball.
How about that?
You know what, though?
Start a new sport.
I didn't know your wife was a volleyball player until this past summer.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something we could start up down there.
That could be kind of cool. I don't know, man.
Volley pickleball.
Yeah. Mm. My knees and shoulders kill me for
that. Yeah, but just set up a volleyball net on the beach and just volley back and forth. It doesn't have to be like an actual game. Just kind of.
I would start diving for balls. At some point your ego takes over.
Don't use a ball.
Just
do the motion.
What if you just invite a bunch of hot girls in bikinis over and watch them play?
I'm listening.
Yeah.
Your forearms will get strong.
Don't hate it.
Marissa, it always turns into your keeping score. I used to play tennis with my buddy Rick, and I would just play back and forth, volley, volley, volley. He's like, okay, let's start keeping score now. I'm like, damn it. You know, I'm like, can't we just, you know, we don't have to keep score. Like, this is fun, just hitting it back and forth.
I would all the time get a can of balls and go up, and you'd slam against the walls.
Yeah.
And you know, they would actually put a line as a demarcation for the net would be. And, you know, and I'd blow out all three of the balls and just do it. And I loved it. It was so great.
I'm going to go to Ron. Hi, Ron. Good morning.
Morning.
What's up, Ron?
Not much. What's up with you?
Just chatting with you, man. Speak.
Yeah, so I started skateboarding when I was 47 last year during COVID. Never stepped on a board in my life.
Wow.
And now I skateboard all the time. I travel around Jersey when I get a chance and go to all the skate parks in PA and in Jersey and just have a blast with it. It's just,
what? How did you come about deciding to do it, Ron?
I just figured if I wasn't going to do it at 47, I probably never was going to, and I'm kind of one of those adrenaline junkies.
Huh.
You guys were talking about surfing before. I used to live in Virginia Beach, and I was one of those crazy guys that'd be out there in a blizzard surfing all the time.
Okay.
So, I just said, you know what, I got to try it before I can't anymore, and I just got on the board and got going. I had a couple of injuries because it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah,
But just kept going, and now it's exactly what that guy in that article is talking about. It just frees your mind and gets you to just forget all your problems.
I love it.
It's awesome.
Good for you.
I love it, man.
Good for you, Ron. Finding something at 47.
Wear a helmet.
47 years old.
Wearing just,
this is my new thing.
Yeah.
Wearing a helmet, though, my wife is very good on her balance, her skating, her ice skating.
Yeah.
And we had the hoverboard.
You know, and she was she nailed that, and she was booking around and doing great. And then the one time she wasn't wearing her elbow protection and her knee protection and her helmet was inside on the hardwood floor. And I'm hearing the thing beeping as I'm doing, you know, work. I'm like, it's going to run low, hon. The gyroscope in it will fail. And she's talking, okay. And then it eventually ran out. It fell out. And boom. She had like a really bad forearm sprain. So, yes,
if
you're going to do it, wear the protective gear.
When I, Captain Dale, he had COVID and he had gotten it really bad and he was in intensive care. And then he eventually was in a rehab center and I visited him in the rehab center. He shared a room with an adult male who was riding a skateboard, wasn't wearing a helmet, smashed his head, and he was in a bad.
So like, you don't need you that.
Know, no.
Don't need that. Don't be terrified, but just come to precautions.
Put a helmet on.
Just be safe. That's all you got to do. All right. Well, anyhow, this was going to be the Just Saying Institute.
It was.
And it was a good topic.
Yeah. Just talking about one particular study. I normally go through a series of them. I have several others, so maybe we could revisit
this. If you've never felt betrayed, you just did.
Maybe we can do
by
it later.
The Just Saying Institute, one story.
Later on this morning, we'll see, because I do have some others to share. But that is a great tip. And if it's not skateboarding for you, it might be something else. But you've got to, what you have to do is you have to get out and try these things, and then you find out.
You're one of many. You always tend to feel you're going to stand out, or people, don't worry about that.
Totally.
Yeah, and when you find that thing, it's going to be fantastic for you.
So you recommend to buy all the gear for everything just to try it out?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's all you got to do. No. Fortunately, there are some places you can go rent and so on.
Join the Boosters Club, the Scuba Club, the Glee Club.
The Ceramics
Club. Ceramic Club.
All that stuff, yeah. I saw that episode,
then
too.
Bring the girls back to the house. And your brother will probably be working on some sort of volcano.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we are going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. And a Bizarre File stories, I promise, more than one. Okay, when we come back.
Yes.
So we will get to that when we return. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve. Their name is their address.
On the web. Preston and Steve Duck.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Real quick, before this text message gets away, it's from our last segment, and I just briefly said something about combining sports.
Yes.
Somebody said, in the 90s, a friend and I combined tennis, badminton, and pickleball, and we called it 10 Pickle Mitten. We used tennis racket, pickleball, and a badminton net. So awesome fun. So yeah, we'll have to explore like that sometime. Yeah. In the meantime, we dive into the B-File.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we will begin with a story out of Poland. And police in Poland have arrested a convicted murderer who had been on the run for 20 years.
Wow.
And they were able to do it. They pulled him. They started to cite him because he was not wearing a face mask. Warsaw.
If you're a murderer on the run, and that's the law,
perfect excuse to walk around.
Exactly.
Incognito.
Uh-huh. No, I want people to recognize me.
Warsaw police said they had detained the 45-year-old fugitive at a north shop in northeast of the capital. The man has now been transported to a prison where he is due to serve a 25-year sentence for murder. No further details were provided, and face masks are mandatory in all shops in Poland under the latest anti-coronavirus restrictions. And this genius decided to walk around. It's like somebody who was, transporting a bunch of cocaine and doing 120 miles an hour.
Right,
on the
with their taillight out.
Yeah. So they got him. This is a terrible story. In North Jersey, a black bear weighing at least 400 pounds clawed and bit an 81-year-old woman on Monday night outside her home in Sussex County before dragging the woman's dog into the woods and mauling it to death.
Oh, my God.
The attack had occurred shortly after the woman had placed trash in garbage cans for Tuesday's pickup and let her dogs outside to go to the bathroom. Police said Two black bears were sitting there in the yard eating the garbage. They had already gotten into the garbage, and they had it all spread out on the ground, and they were helping themselves. The dogs immediately darted toward the bears. The larger of the two bears ran off into the woods when the dogs ran at them. The other bear stood its ground. The bear swatted and hit the older dog. The younger dog was fast, and the bears were not able to touch that dog. The woman was attacked. She stepped in to try to save the dog, and that's why she was attacked. She ran toward the bear, yelling, and attempted to get her dog away from the bear. The bear bit the woman's leg and clawed at her, causing deep puncture-type scratches to her head. The bear picked up the woman's dog and carried it into the woods with her other dog in pursuit. While the woman was taken to the hospital, she received 7 stitches to close the wound on her leg and given antibiotics because she was bitten, you know. Two officers with the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, Division of Fish and Wildlife, were at the scene to possibly trap the bear. They said the bears were adults weighing 400 to 500 pounds.
Wow. God almighty.
Yep.
She's lucky to be alive.
Totally. The past 2 years have made many of us want to stock up on sanitizing supplies. John French was ahead of the game. The production coordinator at Michigan State University's Abrams Planetarium has been collecting moist towelettes since the 1990s, and his collection of wipes is now well into the thousands. And the Moist Towelette Museum, housed in French's office in the planetarium, has wipes from all corners of the world.
It's a dream come true.
Texas, Japan, Russia, Germany, Kuala Lumpur, and Tahiti are among the dozens of places represented in the collection.
I would say my wife is upset with me, but there is no wife.
Most of these towelettes were donated to the museum, sometimes by strangers. Some of the towelettes in the collection serve a specific purpose, such as denture cleaning, removing tar from shoes, or wiping away radioactive contamination.
Remember when you were a kid and the first time you were introduced to moist towelettes?
I thought it was great.
This is astonishing.
Yeah. It was probably KFC.
Yeah.
It was one of the first places I had
moist towelettes.
And I always liked the way they smelled.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Something about that.
I'm a big fan.
Are you a big fan?
I collect them as well, not to the museum level. However, they do dry out after a while. Yeah, I was just looking for my supply over here.
Wait. They'll dry out in the package?
In the packet, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, after a while.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to like also cracking open the ammonia capsules in a first aid kit.
Yeah. But Marissa does a great thing where she stores the ones. Like, if we get to a restaurant that brings us wings, Marissa will grab them and she sticks them in the cabinet underneath the TV over there. So there's a moist towelette supply.
We should have a party.
We should.
We're so moist.
One wipe that this guy has is specifically for secretaries to clean typewriter, ribbon ink, and carbon paper. The oldest wipe he has is what's called a wash-up towelette from 1983.
Mm.
He said the collection began as a joke between French and a former colleague. He said, I found out that of all the things on the internet, there wasn't a collection of moist towelettes. So he started his collection, and the donations began to roll in.
That's what he found on the internet.
So you can go and visit the Moist Towelette Museum if you're interested. 3 intensive care patients in Ukraine have been killed in a hospital fire sparked by a candlelight, a candle that was lit to remember a recent COVID-19 death.
Whoops.
Another 4 people are being treated for severe burns following the blaze in Kosiv, Western Ukraine. According to officials, it began when a candle was lit by a member of staff near 5 oxygen concentrators, which instantly caught on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
It is the latest in a number of deadly hospital fires during the pandemic.
We're going to need some more candles.
Pure oxygen in cylinders, which are commonly found in hospitals and have been heavily relied on to treat COVID-19 patients, is highly flammable, of course. Local emergency services said the ignorance of the elementary laws of physics and disregard for safety rules have led to irreparable losses. The people who died were 2 women and a man, while 3 doctors suffered burns. All right, we'll do one more story and wrap. An 8-month-old dog saved a stranded hiker in the Croatian mountains this week, keeping him warm and safe until first responders could get to them.
It's an amazing story.
The dog, an Alaskan...
How do you feel? Are you comfortable? All right, now I'm going to go into town and get some help. And I've sort of put out your pills, and there's a blanket and some Twix bars in the trunk.
What a dog. The dog, an Alaskan Malamute called North, laid on top of Garga Brick for 13 hours after the man fell and injured himself while climbing down a slope along the Velebit mountain range.
The dog was trying to suffocate him.
2 other hikers.
Die already.
I'm going to eat you when you're dead.
I'm not
going to
eat you alive. I'm not an animal. Wait, I am an animal.
Two other hikers on the trail, unable to reach North and Breek, had doubled back for help. When almost 30 rescuers arrived on the scene, North had curled up with him and warmed him with his body. He's like whistling.
Yeah.
You're a talking dog.
Later. There's time for that later.
North himself was uninjured, and he said according to his owner, he said, this little dog is a real miracle. So that's
goddamn
great.
Goddamn right I am.
That's a great story. All right. Yeah, you're a talking dog, for crying out loud.
I didn't know you could talk.
I had nothing to say.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, we're going to take a break a little bit later on. Singles, listen up, because we're going to have Steve Ward, who is the head of MasterMatchmakers.com, is going to be joining us. We're into a new year. Maybe it's one of your resolutions, meet somebody.
So you can go skateboarding with them.
There you go.
Right?
We'll get some suggestions from him in a bit. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Real quick, shout out if you don't mind. This says, hey, Preston, I'd like to give a big juicy shout out to my husband, Jeff's 35th birthday. Jeff lived in Philly only for about a year, but the Preston and Steve family stayed with him over the last decade.
Wow.
As he's moved countless times, and he introduced me to the show about 6 years ago.
Wow.
And now the podcasts are our go-to road trip listen. You guys rock. Jeff is the most hardworking and caring person I've met. That was a burp. I wasn't getting choked up.
I'm sorry, but I mean something like understanding and always supportive. Speaking guy.
She said, I know a shout out would absolutely make his day. Thank you so much. And that is from Jessica. So a shout from Jessica Pankratz. That's her last name, Pankratz. That reminds me of that moment in Fletch. Probably that. Hanarass, or you know what I'm talking about?
He says,
what?
He says he's probably that pederast Hanrahan.
That pederast Hanrahan.
Yeah, and he's calling him like a pedophile, basically.
Is that what it was?
A pederast is a pedophile, essentially. So he's laying an insult right before the name. He's like, probably that pederast Hanrahan.
I never knew that. Yeah. Oh my God.
Okay, maybe not.
All right, well, listen, so a little bit of snow on the way. Tonight, you guys were off air talking about snowblowers. I heard that.
Yes. Oh, so yeah.
Did you go fire yours up in preparation? I meant to do that the other day when it hit the shore, just in case. And I haven't done it, but I got mine serviced at the end of last season and got all drained all the ran it till it ran out of gas.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to have that problem where it gums up again, hopefully.
I forgot to do that last year.
So
what happened, this is one of those things where I say, okay, I've had it for a while. I maintain them well. I do run the stuff out. They're almost indestructible, those two-stroke, you know, engines. I mean, they're pretty amazing. So, you know, I figure, okay, I'm going to go out. I'm going to prove to myself that it's really not working, and maybe I'll just give it to someone who wants to, you know, do the maintenance on it, and I'll get a new one. You know, just start the new legacy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, and then I'm sort of in my mind, I'm going online, and I'm looking at, well, I like that snowblower. Because certainly this one's not going to be up to snuff for this year. I go out, second or third pole starts right up.
That's
like,
crazy.
All right.
With
I guess we're going another year, buddy.
Old gas and everything, right?
Yeah.
I definitely bleed the gas out of mine every year, and so last year, Steve, or maybe it might have been 2 years ago, the pull cord broke on mine. It just snapped.
That's a problem.
Well, it has an electric start too, but that is kind of a pain in the ass.
You gotta run a cord to it, and blah blah blah.
So I bought a new pull cord for it. I was going to take it in to get service. This guy, John Clark, listens.
From NBC 10.
No, he's a different John Clark. But he's the guy who I bought my snowblower from. He, you know, I was going to take it to him. And then I was like, you know what? I could probably fix the pull cord.
Never say that.
Well, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, I sort of figured, I'm like, okay, it's not an engine. All it is a nylon cord that is connected to something else. Now, listen, what should have taken me 5 to 10 minutes took me about 2 hours. Because it wasn't working, and there's this like weird inner spring that I didn't know was there, and I'm like, why is this not working? And then I'm YouTubing it, and you know, it was tough to get this weird spring connected. I got to go back and redo it or whatever, but you know,
you do.
May I mention that pulling a pull start cord and having it fire up on the first one is one of those little satisfactions in life.
Yeah,
it's like. I don't know. It's like hitting home, you know, with a baseball when you hit the sweet spot or something like that.
Or swish, you know. Like
yeah. And it fits in those little things mm-hmm. of,
Yes.
You're exactly right. Contrary-wise, it's the most devastating when it doesn't happen. It's like,
oh my God,
you are by yourself with your laptop open in your bedroom and
stop it. I did, though. But the opposite is, I remember when I was having trouble with this, and I'm pulling the pull cord over and over and over and over, just trying to, okay, it's going to get warmed up. And I've done it like 15 times. And I look down and I've ripped the skin on my between my middle and and pointer finger, because the cord is there and it's a friction burn, and I didn't even realize I was doing it at the time.
What's your
that son of a bitch hurt for days?
What's your pull method? Do you stand? Do you do like a cable crossover, or do you do the back?
I do the pull back. I even do 1 foot up, 1 foot on.
I do. That's me, bro.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh.
Yep.
Yeah. I put a foot except on the unit and
I don't pull. Put the foot on the unit. I just raise 1 foot for some bizarre.
Oh, you just pull it?
No, yeah.
I put like scared one foot in. You ever do that
exercise? I do the crane technique, Steve.
Sweep the leg.
You ever do
sweep
that exercise blower in the gym, like where you have to, you know, get the weight and pull it out of it's, you know, pulling the lawnmower string.
Yeah exactly.
Show Casey, me pull you, the snowblower.
Did you know that John Clark, the guy that sold you your snowblower, that it does not work at NBC 10, do you know that he was my soccer coach when I was in third grade?
I did. I didn't remember that until you said it right now. You said he told me that you were a nice kid.
Yeah.
He said you were quiet.
Yes.
But you were a really nice kid. Yeah. He told me that.
I have a history with Nick.
Yeah. He's a super nice guy. Yeah. His daughter got up on stage for Christmas Miracle.
She was dressed as Gritty. She made a Gritty costume.
Yep. Yeah. She's awesome.
And also, I had never heard the word macadam before I met him. He used to work at this, I don't know where he works now, but he used to work at this place in Westchester. Do you guys know what macadam is?
No, I know Rachel McAdam, but no.
Macadam is blacktop.
Yeah, like that's pavement.
Pavement.
No.
Yeah. I think it's a proper name that has been like this guy's
like
invented
Kleenex?
It. Yeah, no, like a guy named McAdam. I'm probably getting
it
wrong.
Is it like figging?
It's like figging, except not at all like figging. No, like a guy named McAdam invented this way of doing that, and that it's now named after him.
So, like the way something becomes,
like you said, Kleenex or a jacuzzi,
Splooge.
Right?
Yeah. Splooge. Was there a John Splooge?
Mr. Jacuzzi's brand name.
Yeah, but was that a person's name? You think?
Oh, I don't know, but Kleenex? I mean, but it is, since it replaced the, you know, instead of calling it a hot tub or a spa, people would just say jacuzzi. Well, now they've gone back to hot.
Yes,
tubs.
You're right. So
there's a jacuzzi family.
Wait,
they're very moist.
Okay, hang on. Is jacuzzi?
My name is Fred Jacuzzi.
Yeah,
how are you?
Elfa Jacuzzi.
Yeah,
isn't Jackie there Jacuzzi?
A wine or a champagne jacuzzi?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
So I actually was to the vineyard in Napa. Look at me, a world traveler. I think the jacuzzi family actually started with plane prop. Nick, you'll have to look at
that. Aircraft? All
right. Yeah, aircraft. Okay. I believe I could be wrong.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the snowblower thing, too.
Sure.
Because, speaking of John Clark, I need to call him because I want to get a rider lawnmower, and I want to get like a one of those plows, like a snow plow, and put it on top, in front of.
Right.
And so I could plow the driveway a little bit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think that would also, because my driveway gets a little wide towards the base of it, and it gets harder. And you have, I think, the same thing.
Our old house, our neighbor had one of those on just regular riding tractor mower, you know, riding mower.
Just put a plow on it.
Put a plow blade on the front, and he would do our sidewalks just as a, you know, and if it was a really bad snow, he'd come over. And we had a really small driveway, and he would knock it out real fast.
Was it overkill, do you think, for him to have it? Or would a regular snowblower have gotten it done?
He had one of those, like a flag lot, where the driveway is really long and goes to the back, goes behind another house.
You know who's got a pretty badass one?
Dr. Mike
has a tank.
Treads.
Yeah.
It's got treads.
Wow.
In his house before the one he's currently in, he had a long driveway that had a steep decline.
John Clark, the not NBC 10 guy, is on the phone line, Casey. Hi, John Clark from Not NBC 10. What's up, man?
Gadzooks, how you doing?
Gadzooks, buddy. We're good. Casey really wants to put a snowplow blade on the front of a tractor. Can you help him?
That's great, but sometimes there's a problem with that. You have to, when you're plowing, you first have to have weights, chains, and enough room so that the beginning of the year, you start plowing, you push the snow out a little further than the driveway, because every time you have snow, you're going to have to keep pushing it out. Otherwise, it's going to get really tight.
Yeah. I see what he's saying. A snowblower throws it off.
Yeah.
You're simply pushing it, and so you will have to. In fact, it sounds like what you're describing, John, is an abject nightmare.
Casey, push it into your neighbor's driveway. That's what you got to do.
And then buy them a snowblower.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have a neighbor driveway near my driveway at all. But the problem with my snowblower is that the driveway gets wide towards the end.
Why is that a problem? I'm not quite understanding.
Because when you're snow blowing, like, there's no way to blow the snow away from anywhere that's not, you're not just going to have to blow
it later, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I can't. Do you want me to show you the way? If I go lengthwise or widthwise, I'm going to be blowing the snow into the path of where I'm going to be blowing snow later anyway, if that makes any sense to you.
So you could do down the middle, down the middle.
Oh, correct. Yeah, I have a pattern that
I've
follow.
Got a pattern.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you go down the middle, you throw this snow to the left, you throw the other snow to the right.
Yeah, yeah, but where it gets wide, I don't have that. Because if I throw
then,
the
then
snow...
Then you just got to go twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, move to a warmer climate.
Well, if it's working properly, it should throw the snow at least 25 feet.
Yes.
Well, and I think we've also had an issue with the snow has been heavy lately.
Mm. Heavy snow. Great band.
So heavy. Yeah. Heavy snow.
We are heavy snow!
I love it.
John, so what you can do, instead of taking a full swath, take half a swath so that it allows it to throw the snow further. It'll take you a little bit longer, but you're not putting that much of a stress on the machine then.
Okay, so what I was looking at, I see the snow blowers now that, you know, the auger, I guess they call it. Mm-hmm. That is the one I currently have. It's a little bit more hidden, but there are ones that have a full, like, open face, and those seem pretty powerful. Any experience with those? John Clark, not from NBC10?
In terms of, like, a Cub Cadet version?
Are they good? Are they bad?
I have a Cub Cadet. I've got two. I have that in a Toro.
Privilege. Don't talk about your snowblowers on air.
And it's got the open front with the auger on it as well.
Do you like it?
The reason I got that is because when we've got those over, you know, foot and a half.
You can get
18
it.
Inches.
Yeah.
You can get it. And
tap that.
But my go-to, my workhorse is the Toro. But once it gets above like 10 inches or so, it's a little too high.
You got to do a raise pass.
But it's a badass. But I use that. What I like to use is use the Cub Cadet for the heavy stuff. And you knock the first layer out, and then you bring out the Toro, and it cleans it all up.
So you're saying that the open face one, it sounds like we're talking about roast beef sandwiches here.
What are we doing there?
Is would not be effective for just a straight through pass?
Not really. I mean, kind of, but not.
It's elevated.
You're better using. So the one I use, I can't believe we're spending this length of conversation on this.
Neither can I.
The Toro that I have has like a, it's almost like a rubber material that comes down and sweeps up the.
So you have a single stage.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Was that Preston's mistake?
And that's what I use for the lesser snowfalls that we get.
That's perfect, and that's also better for a wetter, heavier snow because it picks it up and throws it all in one.
Yeah, it'll chuck that stuff.
Motion as opposed to the auger in the front chopping it up and sending it back into the impeller for it to be thrown.
All right,
this is what I have, Steve. You're looking at a picture.
Okay, so I have one that's a bit different. Yeah, it's kind of halfway between that, Preston, and the open face auger.
Casey, should you and John continue this conversation off air?
Maybe meet for drinks.
Yeah, let's meet for drinks. You know, hit me in my DM.
Slide into his DM.
I can't believe I'm so nervous.
Before you go, John. What are your memories of soccer from 1984 when I was because my dad and Ash D'Antonio's father were the co-coaches. I don't think our team was very good, but I don't remember exactly.
No, I just remember I think it was the Jackson twins that were on the team too, and that's about it.
Yeah, I posted a picture on Instagram years ago. I'm sending it to Marissa now, and we'll put it up on the account. But yeah, my dad was a coach, and John was a coach, and here we are having a conversation in 2022 about snowblowers. You know?
Did you make Nick play goal because of the size of his head, or did he have some other shining moments on the field?
We can discuss that later.
Okay. Yeah. All right, John, thanks for your call, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
I brought this up, and by the way, Frank and Mike are both on hold. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, but we're gonna move on to something else. But if you use non-ethanol fuel or aviation fuel, it says you don't have to bleed the gas. It doesn't gunk up. It doesn't
have really?
That stuff.
Oh. Thank you, guys. You know,
I'll go to the call real quick. Hi, Frank. Frank.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air, Frank.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. All right, so you say non-ethanol fuel?
Yep. Wawa is the only place that sells it.
I was wondering where you get that type of thing. Okay.
Wawa sells non-ethanol fuel.
Huh.
You put that in there, and it won't break down. Your ethanol fuel breaks down. That's where your gum comes from in your carburetor.
Hey, hang on, Frank. So how is this labeled, or is it all the gasoline at Wawa is non-ethanol?
If you go to the pump, it'll say non-ethanol fuel in one of your
choices.
Preston, just go to the pump with a long line of snow blowers.
Right. All right. Thank you, Frank. Right, thank you, man. That makes sense. And then hang on. Mike has another tip. Hey, Mike. Mike, you're on the air, bud. Okay, thanks, Mike.
No, he's not.
He was saying aviation fuel. I don't know where you get aviation
fuel. The airport.
Yeah.
Just pull up onto the tarmac.
Yeah.
You're on the tarmac.
Speaking of aviation,
Homeland Security is sweeping down.
Just my snowblower. I'm not a terrorist.
So, Steve, Giocondo Jacuzzi and Candido Jacuzzi started an airplane business. They made wooden propellers under military contracts back in the 1920s. But ironically, or sadly, or whatever, Giocondo died in a plane crash.
Wow.
Yeah. So
they switched to hot tubs after that.
They started to make hot tubs.
A lot less crashes.
And wine?
And I don't know if it's the same family that's
associated. It has to be, Nick, because
associated.
They built this. It really looks like a Tuscan sort of, you know, set up, and it's just beautiful. I'm one of those rare non-drinkers that loves going to wine tastings and vineyards and stuff like that.
There's history attached to it and culture.
It's cheese and stuff
and
like that.
And usually cheese, I was going to say.
there's no mention of it in their Wikipedia page, so it might be a separate Jacuzzi family, Steve. I don't know.
Because when I went there, Preston, in this vineyard, in this winery, they had large wooden propellers on the walls.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they have to have a hot tub full of wine if you're going to go to the Jacuzzi wine company? Wow. Wow. All right. Well, anyhow, the reason, other than the fact,
20 minutes later,
right, that I brought up the snow blowing and all that stuff is, you know, because obviously we're getting some snow tonight. I saw a study about whether or not you are too old to shovel snow. Because
if you're old enough to skateboard,
a study from 2010 estimated that nearly 200,000 people were treated in emergency rooms for snow shoveling related incidents between 1990 and 2006, an average of about 11,500 people a year. About 55% were soft tissue injuries, while about 34% were lower back injuries. But experts say that shoveling snow can also be a trigger for heart attacks. You do hear about
that. That can happen to a lot of people, especially if you talk about heavy snow, wet snow.
Yes.
Where you're out there and you're overestimating your capabilities. Now, I exercise every day. I'm in pretty decent shape. My shoveling game is good. My snowblower is working. So that's cool. But you do have to be aware and take a break every little bit. You know, you can't just power on through, especially if your chest is exploding.
So this particular doctor says that cautions anyone over the age of 45 from partaking in the chore due to the, quote, perfect storm of factors that seem to cause heart attacks. Cardiologist says that he encourages people to start finding other ways to remove snow once they turn 55.
Flamethrower.
The cold temperatures plus intense exercise of shoveling is no joke, and for middle-aged adults who don't get a lot of exercise. So if you're fairly sedentary, you know, this might not be the type of thing
or
that you
igneous
want to do. Or metamorphic as well, or who knows.
But. Hey, did you end up getting did Santa Claus bring that snow melter thingy?
No. Okay. I didn't ask for it.
Well, that's probably the reason.
You were the one purchasing it.
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, whoa. I thought you meant like a flamethrower, like
no,
Steve was talking about.
No.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
so the mat?
So we got a, it was a Santa Claus. I bought it. So it was a mat that you lay out. So we have a hot tub.
Yeah.
Snowblowers
in
a hot
tub. To the jacuzzi.
Preston, you talked about your snowblower and your jacuzzi today. You sound too privileged. If you bring up the fact that you occasionally go to a doctor, we're going to have to pull you off the air.
That's how the whole privilege thing started, believe it or not.
So
we have the hot tub, and it's about, I don't know, it's about 15 feet that you have to walk, and that's not much at all. But if you have the means and you have a hot tub, Going in a hot tub in the wintertime is just the greatest thing.
I desperately want to
get one. It's just fantastic. Yeah. So, but if it's a walk and you have to walk through snow, it sucks because, you know, it not only after you get out and water drips and people come out after, you can slip and fall on the ice, it forms very, very quickly. So Casey saw this thing online, and it's essentially a mat that's an electrical mat that you plug in. It's weatherproof and everything. And he said it will melt the snow.
And you can connect like a bunch of them,
you can do
right?
a few of them. Yeah.
So I want to get these.
I got one to try it out.
All right.
And technically, we should have two if I want a clear path all the way.
Right.
But I'll get to try it out tonight. You know, throw that thing
tonight,
out there.
Tonight.
Hot damn tonight. And plug it in and see how well it works. But that'll just be a little creature comfort. Some people have, when building sidewalks.
Yes, they radiators.
And driveways, you can have heaters built underneath those things. That's crazy. Uh-huh.
So I saw one. They showed a time lapse of a guy who had a particularly tricky driveway.
Yeah.
And was always having issues pulling in and with the snow. This thing took a fairly decent accumulation down to water in a quick amount of time.
Okay.
It was wild.
We're talking 4 or 5 inches maybe of snow?
I'd say more.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. It brought it down quickly. So you're thinking, okay, it's going to be a gentle, I don't know what kind of heat unit or the pipes or whatever he's doing underneath that thing, but right. Holy hell.
Wow.
I was like, man, but you know, how much does something like that run?
Yeah, I would imagine it's expensive.
I saw a video last year of the owner at Standard Tap use the heaters that you use in a garden or in like a greenhouse, and he put them on the streeteries so when you eat outside, you can be warm.
The heater's in a garden. I'm not familiar.
Yeah, so it's actually like you're talking about a mat that you would put on the sidewalk. They have very similar things, but much smaller, that you would put under your plants in a greenhouse.
Okay.
And he was building them into like outside streeteries so when it's really cold. It's like a heated seat. Okay. Pretty much.
Yeah.
So your butt's warm.
Started That's using cool. the heated seat this week, by the way.
That is the most wonderful thing in the world. So
and the steering wheel.
Oh, my and the God, steering wheel.
That is privileged.
So now that my wife's car has been stolen and we're looking for another new one, she wants that heated steering
it's
wheel.
So
because,
nice.
And honestly, tell me, did this happen? I was explaining this to Casey. I have a particular hoodie that's nice and warm. And sometimes I'll arrive at a location with the heat on and the seat. And I'll just sit there, like you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like I'm gonna just, I'll just put on
soak in the heat for a little.
Yeah. Just love it.
Yeah.
I despise heated seats.
I don't use them often. They very quickly. Rochelle puts it on high immediately. Mm. I hate that.
Yeah.
And I'll just to warm it up, and then once it starts to get to like body temperature, I turn it off.
Yeah, I only use it this time of year because it warms up faster than my car. So actually, by the time I arrive here, my car is just starting to warm up. So it's the only like heat I have.
Do you leave it on auto when you're driving? So in other words, let it run its course, because in auto it will warm up properly.
You're talking about your
heater
system,
right?
I do that.
Yeah.
Rochelle likes the method of putting it as hot as it'll go and turning that fan on high.
That doesn't do anything.
It pisses me off.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything.
It's not going to do anything any quicker. Yeah. And, you know, you just put it on auto and it will bring it up at the proper rate.
Right.
All right. One more question because my lease is up, so I do need a new car as well. Are heated seats only with leather, or can you get them with cloth seats too?
You can get them with both.
You can get them with both too?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious.
Pretty certain of that.
And leather's usually not leather.
Right.
Sure, of course. But I wasn't sure if it's...
Yeah, it also, to me, sounds like you don't despise heated seats. You just, you know, you use them the same way I do.
I use them cranking all the time.
I set my, when I get out of bed, I turn my car on. I have the app on my phone. I turn it on. And the heated seats go on immediately to high. And then when I hop in the car, I turn them down to low.
One of my favorite stories. I'm sorry, go ahead, Marissa.
No, please.
My father-in-law was riding in a car. Rochelle was driving. They were on this a 3-hour drive.
Yeah, I know.
And he kept asking her to pull over and get something to drink. He had got ice cream. He just, I thought, I'm burning up. I don't know what's going on. And, you know, are you hot? No. You know, maybe I'm running a fever, whatever. The heated seats were on high. It was in the middle of the summertime.
I do that chuck all the time.
It's a good prank.
Yeah. It's the best. Whenever Chuck's in my car in the summer, man, I will turn his seat on high.
Oh, that's
and
great.
He has no idea.
Air conditioned seats are awesome as well.
Oh, man. You know.
The little, especially, just again, in the winter, when my balls, I hear them sizzling, I'm like, like perfect. That is a thing that you'll find now in most cars will have and that sort of deal.
Marissa, a few texts coming in saying they have cloth seats and they are heated.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just don't like the focused heat. Like, I just don't like, I don't know, it's like a warm spot. It's like if you're in bed and it's too hot and I have to, like, kick my leg out. I don't like that focused heat in my butt.
So in my wife's car that was stolen, there was a heat discharge that puts out on the back of your neck in the seat.
Nice.
Yeah, which is nice.
That's a fancy.
Another privileged moment, yes.
Steve, do you have a comfy? It's basically a blanket you wear as a hoodie?
I got one for my I'm thinking of getting one, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of Billy Jackish looking, Preston.
We have a few of them. We have like four of them. And if you want to sit outside, it's actually pretty comfy.
The only thing that kind of rivals that is the velour tracksuit that Nick got us for Christmas.
I wore that throughout the entire Christmas. But I didn't wear the pants. Occasionally I would.
Oh, man.
But the velour.
Yeah, I don't really like it. I don't like that sensation. I don't hate it, but I like my jammy bottoms better.
The jammy jams?
Yeah, a little better now. All right. We have snow on the way tonight, by the way. So 2 to 4 inches, nothing crazy from what I've heard. You never know, it could change a little bit, but that's where we stand now. We need to take a break. We have a guest coming up.
Yes.
And we're going to solve your relationship problem as best we can with Steve Ward, mastermatchmakers.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
So this past Sunday, we found out through some information that was considered Dating Sunday.
Yes.
I think that's what it was called.
Yeah. The most active dating time.
On social media.
Yeah.
So, and that brought up the discussion of our next guest. So he hosted Tough Love on VH1.
Yes.
And is behind MasterMakers.com, he and his mom. And we haven't talked to him in years.
No.
Great guest. Please welcome Philadelphia native Steve Ward. Yay! Morning,
hey,
Steve.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Long time no speak.
Yeah, and Happy New Year to you, man.
Yes, yeah, same to you. Same to you guys, looking great here in the Zoom. I hope this is streaming.
Of course.
Yeah, you can watch it on our YouTube channel.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, where are you nowadays, Steve?
Well, I travel between Philadelphia, Palm Beach, Florida, and Santa Monica. So at the moment, you're catching me in Malibu.
Okay.
Yeah, you got a nice fire going behind you. The whole deal looks like a very nice situation. How about your mom? And I don't know her status, so I hope I'm not talking out of turn. Is she doing well? Is she with us?
She's doing fantastic. Great. Thanks for asking. Yeah, she's holding down the fort in Palm Beach, where Master Matchmakers is based out of. So we're busier than ever now post-COVID. Our business is probably 4 or 5 times what it was the last time we spoke.
So isn't it funny, and we were talking about this, and this is why you came to my mind when we were having the conversation, is that a lot of times, in a way, what you, years ago, and continue to offer is now might be perceived as sort of retro in a way, but the old tried and trues still stick around. And what you guys do, obviously you're employing the internet and things of that nature as well, but there's your mother was what is it? A matchmaker, right? Is what she would go by, right? That sort of occupation, that sort of thing, that sort of knowledge is still very viable. And so obviously you're saying COVID and the situation that a lot of people are in has made it what you do that much more valuable. So you're saying you have a massive increase in business. And what are people coming to you? What are the dilemmas that they're bringing to you that are a part of the pandemic over the past couple of years? What is making it difficult for them?
Well, thanks. Great question, Steve. I mean, the first thing is that we are kind of like the modern day delivery boy of love. So if you think about it, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you'd call the restaurant, you'd place an order. And if they didn't have somebody to bring it to you, you'd have to go and get it for yourself. Nowadays, we're used to everything being brought to our doorstep by basically anyone and everyone. And now people seem to expect that in their love life as well. So we're the delivery boy of love. And the people come to us because they're very frustrated with having to go out there and try to find it on their own. They've gotten lazy, so to speak. because of all the information technology out there. So we just help you be much more efficient and effective at landing in the relationship that you want to be rather than just finding dates.
It seems to me like a lot of the apps and a lot of the things that are out there are like a great club initially. Oh, you go to this new place and it's like, oh, and not a lot of people know about it. And so it seems new and people are having a high success rate. But now there's such a glut of things that are not curated. That, you know, people are, they're ending up in the same situation they were. Like, what's the difference between doing this and going to a crowded club or whatever? To have you guys as overseers, I think, is a big advantage.
Yeah, well, really what we do is we handle the biggest problem areas that you have, whether you're a man or a woman. You know, you have a different set of problems when you're out there trying to meet people on your own. Women are concerned about meeting a stalker or a serial killer.
Right.
You know, they're concerned about meeting men that are already married or otherwise in a relationship. You know, they're concerned about meeting somebody who just wants to have sex or somehow take advantage of them. Because believe it or not, romance scams is the second largest form of cybercrime in this country now. Women are being scammed out of tens of thousands of dollars by people they're meeting online. Men, completely different set of problems. The quality men that actually are like-minded and well-intentioned, that don't have a checkered past, that really want to be in a relationship, they're frustrated with having to basically account for the sins of all the other men in the club who are doing these things that women are afraid of. So they're very frustrated with having to prove that they're a quality individual. Then, you know, men are also, I think, a little bit, let's say, concerned about meeting women who don't exactly look like their photos, or, you know, women that could potentially be misleading them. So they don't want to waste their time either. And lastly, they don't want to meet women who themselves have an agenda or gold diggers, you know, have some other, you know, things going on in their past that might make them problematic. So what we do is we solve all those problems for you, because we're actually the only matchmaking service in the entire country that has full-fledged background checks on everybody we represent, whether you hired us to match you or not. And we can verify anything about you: education, employment, professional licenses, criminal history. And that's the kind of thing you can't really do on your own. Just because someone has a LinkedIn profile doesn't mean they're not making it up.
Right, dating off the LinkedIn.
Steve, you know, some things look good on paper. Like, you know, you see these stats about this person, this individual, who they are, and they should match up with this other person, you know, on paper. It looks like it would work, and, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. What do you say to people like that? Do you guys offer, you know, coaching advice as far as what they need to be doing and interacting with others?
Are you kidding me? Coaching is like the biggest.
That's what you do?
It's the number one driver of our business now. We, you know, ever since Tough Love, we decided like everybody who comes to us could use some feedback, direction, and guidance. You know, someone to be really honest with them, maybe the person who is going to tell them what their best friend or their mom or their coworkers won't.
Yeah.
And then we put them out there. And so, you know, we always say your success is our success, right? The longer you're around looking to meet someone or end up in a relationship, the more work there is involved for us. We're kind of like, we work on bounty. So we negotiate with every client at the onset of our contract about how many matches we'll promise them and how much money we want to be paid for it. We price it somewhat like an insurance premium. If you're super picky, if you're really unrealistic, if you're in the middle of nowhere, you got some other specific challenge, we add a significant premium because we expect it's going to take us a lot more work to produce the outcome that you seek. If we don't think we can produce that outcome, we turn you away. There's, like you said, a million other avenues out there for the average person, but we're working with a very specific individual to produce, you know, success in their love life.
I would find that could be difficult and sometimes because, you know, I mean, when you have an individual who is going about things the wrong way, I mean, are you... Because you really can't change who you are. I mean, you can take steps to be a different person a little bit, to try and change a little bit about it. But you're always going to be that person that you are. So you're not asking people to really, you know, change who they are. You still have to be you, right?
Well, you know, I don't want to sound crass, but it's like polish the turd.
Right? Yeah.
You know, you got guys that will embellish online and say that they're 6 foot one when they're 5 foot 11, or that they're 42 when they're 48. And it's like, because, oh, well, I'm a more muscular guy, so I get away with looking like 6'1", or, you know, I look good for my age, so I can lie about my age. Right. So people are, and that's, you know, women consider that deceit. Right. Yeah. So when we market someone to another individual, I mean, we present them warts and all, you know? And so when we tell you what you need to do and need to not do in order to have success with the person we're placing you in front of, like, it's leading the proverbial horse to water. So we're not asking you to change anything. We're asking you to be more mindful and conscious of yourself and the person you're with to get the outcome you want.
Well, that's the inherent, going back to the earlier part of this conversation, with all of these things, with all of these apps and these online services that initially came out in the big glut, is that it became the common joke that, okay, what did they say they were and what did you end up seeing on the date? Yeah. And that's just kind of an accepted liability of all this stuff. So I wonder, to someone who is just, and that's why you came to mind initially with this, is that with all this going on, with, you know, people's sensibilities, you know, there have been stats about how even things like politics can be so divisive, and people are putting that, you know, into their descriptions of themselves. What advice would you give to someone who's not having really any success, you know, and isn't willing? Again, you don't change yourself, but change the parameters of what you're willing to accept. What would you say to a person who just has no luck, is a viable person, but might be a little too restrictive in what they're looking for?
I say make exceptions for exceptional people. You know, create a somewhat of a test, if you will, like an acid test about if this person has, you know, 8 out of 10 of the things that I really am looking for in somebody, how necessary is it to have this last thing? Like, a great example is height.
Right.
You know, women tend to tell me, you know, they want to be with a tall guy, and he has to be like 6'1" or taller. And I tell them, you know, only 3% of the men in this country are 6'1" or taller. I go, by the way, you're not even 5'4.5", which is average for a woman. Right? Like, I don't, but I digress. The point being is that I say to her, look, if that guy can make you feel small, if he's strong and confident, if he's self-assured, if he's kind, if he's generous, what difference does it make how tall he is? And so they say, well, I mean, if he has all those other things, then maybe it's not so important to me. So that's really the advantage of working with a very talented matchmaker, is that it's our job to look for why would it work? And is there enough there to overcompensate for what doesn't? I think everybody can do that, no matter what app, site, or service you're going to.
Agreed.
Steve, did you hear the sad news that Recess closed over the weekend?
Would you just close who?
Recess. Remember the club in Old City?
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
Listen, they closed.
Well, listen, nowadays I don't know how clubs can ever work again. I mean, post-COVID, I mean, how are you even going to walk up to somebody and say something within breathing distance?
Well, that's exactly why I brought it up. So I've always had luck meeting people in bars and restaurants. It was just, I like being out. You know, stand next to a bar, you start talking to somebody, you buy each other drinks, whatever it may be. And I could never understand why my friends couldn't have the same success. And I realized that our personalities were different, and they do not like just talking to strangers and just starting random conversations, even if they find someone attractive or nice or whatever it may be. So do you have some tips for people in the Philadelphia area of some out-of-the-ordinary places where they can meet singles?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's a very there's a lot to unpack there, Kath. But first of all, I'll tell you,
Marissa, like,
filling in for Kathy, for Mike.
Yeah, all right. But in terms of, like, you know, the kind of I would say the challenges for people to just start talking with someone in general. You know, the thing is, when you're surrounded by people in a pretty general public area, you're not necessarily sure what you have in common with that person. And believe it or not, we all have unconscious bias. And so we rule people in or we rule people out without even understanding why. But if you're like somewhere down at, let's say, Xfinity Live, it's during a Flyers game or an Eagles game or Sixers game or Phillies game, whatever, and you're wearing, you know, Phillies I'm wearing an Eagles hat, yeah, right? And you see somebody else that's wearing something similar to you or of the same tribe, so to speak, it makes it actually easier for you to communicate with them. So I would tell anybody, go to places where you're likely to be surrounded by people who have things in common with you or of similar interests. You'll feel naturally more comfortable communicating with them because you'll see what you have in common.
It's funny because when we would do our mixers, hopefully it would be nice to get back to doing that. But that was the things that I would always impart would be think outside of the box and don't go out with the number one mission that I'm going to meet my future husband or wife. I'm just going to talk to people and you're just going to go carry on a conversation. And then things, once you let those barriers down a little bit, and you're not saying, oh, I'm looking for this type, as you were saying about they have to be tall, they have to be this, they have to be that. I think so many people get locked into this box. It's got to be this. And you're right. It has to be all 10 instead of here's 7. And like the top 5 of those 7 are phenomenal. So entertain that and go that way. What are you finding, as far as the dating world out there? As far as are people feeling fulfilled, or are we going to have to work a real battle of Sisyphus here, pushing the boulder up the hill to get people who have now been locked in and locked down and shut in and lost communication skills? How are we going to crawl out of this as a nation of people who have been isolated for quite a while?
Yeah, sure. So, there are a lot of schisms that take place and will create tectonic shifts in the way people date, and things like the Great Recession and 9/11 and, believe it or not, other big events, macro events have really disrupted the way we date. We are now in a post-COVID, post-Trump world. So you mentioned, politics earlier. And so there are these sort of third rails now, vaccinations. How do you feel about Trump? Yeah. All these other things. So remember what I said first earlier, make exceptions for exceptional people. There's nothing wrong with asking somebody, what makes you so exceptional?
Yeah.
Why should I, be willing to overlook these things that concern me in order to be with you? And it's not about like challenging somebody, but it's about more or less putting that question in your own mind, not necessarily putting it out there and saying it out loud. The next thing is that I'm a firm believer that you have to learn to crawl before you walk and then before you run.
Yeah.
And people fail to realize that you can't just rush into everything. In fact, that's what women are afraid of most of anything, is that a guy just wants to sleep with them. Well, yes, sleeping with you is a very big part of the equation, but it doesn't mean he needs to sleep with you right this minute. Right. And even if he does, consider it a compliment. It doesn't mean he wants to do that with every other woman. You don't have to cave and just give in because he wants it so much quicker than you. But what you can do is you can slow roll it and you can build up that momentum and get it. It used to be called foreplay.
Yeah.
These are the things that people need to remind. Slow down, pump the brakes a little bit. We've gotten too used to this on-demand world. I call it the Google effect.
Yeah.
When people used to hire me at Master Matchmakers 20 years ago, when I first started doing this out of Drexel, women used to say, I don't want to meet a guy who's too proud to stop, pull over, and ask for directions. What? Okay, now it's like, Siri, how do I get to the moon?
Yeah,
okay,
right, yeah.
You don't have to stop anymore. So we need to realize, like, hey, it's only been 20 years, everybody. Let's go back to what works. Okay, we knew what worked. Let's not let the technology dictate to us how we need to date. Stephen, there are all kinds of new forms of anxiety disorders called, have you guys ever gotten a text message on your iPhone and you send one to somebody, you see that it was delivered, you see that it was read, you saw the bouncing dots, and then they never send anything back to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's called typing awareness anxiety disorder, right? This is the kind of shit that's really keeping people up at night.
Right.
Oh, this is also helpful. I share this with my friends all the time. Like, just because the guy didn't text you back within like 30 minutes, like, he may be doing something.
Right.
He may be busy. Yeah.
Talking about as Steve was saying, that it's we are an on demand. Years ago, Leno used to do a bit about the microwave comes out, so you can cook things in a sixth of the time, and then a year later, people going in front of the microwave going, come on. And that's just the way that it is. And so we want it on demand. But I think you're right. A good notion is to let things do the slow roll, tap the brakes,
And again, you said something earlier on in the conversation about just being upfront, be who you are. You're not going to lose for doing that, and you're only going to open up a massive can of worms when the person perceives you as turns out to be a complete fiction.
Yeah, you need to make sure that the person that you're across from is the right audience for you. I mean, you guys do a great job of reaching your audience and connecting with them and relating with them. And that's why your listeners keep listening to your show. You know, meeting someone in Xfinity Live, you know, meeting somebody on Tinder, meeting someone through Master Matchmakers is really a very similar type of connection you need to make with people. You need to know who your audience is. And sometimes you may assume that this listener is of the same mindset or belief or attitude as you, but that's not always the case. So it's better to ask questions, you know, and it's better to listen more than you speak. And then once you have a really good idea of where your comfort zone is and what you feel good talking about, you know, then you can go into those areas without alienating or offending or hurting or, you know, putting someone on guard.
Yeah. Steve, is this time of year that picks up for you guys? You see a market uptick? Yeah.
That's what, you know, the first thing you said, I didn't even realize why you guys wanted to chat. And then I heard the Dating Sunday thing and I'm like, oh yeah, absolutely. This is like the playoffs of dating, right?
You know, new me.
Yeah. Well, everything starts to ramp up right around Thanksgiving, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're going home and you're getting questioned by all the people and you're, you know, you picture yourself sitting down at the table in Lansdale with all your friends you haven't seen in, you know, the last year. And it's like, hey man, have you met someone yet? And it's like, oh, you know, I'm talking to someone. Then it comes to Christmas, it's a month later, it's like, have you met someone yet? Like, yeah. It's only been a month, it's Christmas. You know, then you get the New Year's people who are like, oh, my New Year's resolution is I'm really going to meet someone this year, right? And now you start thinking about like Valentine's Day is right around the corner. You don't have anybody yet. Yeah. So this is when the panic sets in.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a lot of people out there that might be searching. All right. Well, listen, we got to wrap, Steve, but mastermatchmakers.com. Steve and his mom, they're experts. They know what they're doing. They're going to give you the straight deal.
Yes, they will.
That's part of it as well. It's maybe some stuff you might not really want to hear, but might need to hear. It's what they're experts at, which is great. So, Steve, good to catch up with you, man, and glad you guys are doing so great.
I really appreciate it, you guys. Be well.
All right, you too. Steve Ward!
Yeah!
Giving you some tough love this morning.
It is when you, and sometimes just even hearing, now, thankfully, you know, I'm happily married and coming up on 25th anniversary.
Wow.
But I'll say this, is that you do sometimes need a third party to step in and say, get real.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially get real. If you've done the same things over and over and you keep running into the same problem.
Exactly.
There might be a new approach that you might not have considered
that you
need to go for. All right. We have a concert announcement. Okay. I'm sorry we're a little bit late with this, but we weren't ready to go. And this is a big one. This is awesome. And I will tell you now, probably the best concert I've ever seen.
Wow.
Was this group in my assessment. So we're excited that this show is coming to town, Wells Fargo Center, March 28th. MMR is excited to announce the Eagles. Yay! Yeah, those Eagles. Yes, the Eagles are going to be playing. And it is a Monday, just to give you a heads up on that date. Monday, March 28th at the Wells Fargo Center. It is the Eagles Hotel California 2022 tour. And it will feature Hotel California being played all the way beginning to end.
Wow.
Plus a greatest hit set as well. So they're going to play that whole album from beginning to end.
Yeah. So listen, you know, we were talking about this announcement and you know, Bill was saying, and it's the truth, the Eagles transcend. You know, so people might think of them as straight-up classic rock, but the truth of the matter is that they transcend all of that. They sit in that pocket of unbelievable musicians, and their song catalog, Preston.
Oh, my gosh.
It's unbelievable.
Well, here's what will blow you away if you've never seen them in concert, is their harmonies.
Yeah.
Their vocal harmonies are so incredibly precise. It's like listening to the record, and they work really, really hard. It's so important to them, their perfectionists, to get that right every time.
And it's Glenn Frey's son.
Yes. I'm not sure about who all is touring, but I don't know if Vince Gill still is with the group or not. But you still have that Don Henley and Joe Walsh and the voices and all that stuff will just sound fantastic. So tickets are on sale next Friday, the 14th. at 10 a.m. via WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. Pierre will have tickets this week and next week for you to win before you can buy them. And you can go to WMMR.com for complete details, including another chance to win for MMR VIPs. I had seen them on the Hell Freezes Over Tour when they came back.
Which is legendary now.
We're supposed to never happen. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go to the show. And I walked out of there just going, there were moments during the show. I'm like, I can't believe this is actually happening live in front of
yeah.
me. And it's that good. So
that was originally for them. And then yes. the team co-opted
yeah. it. Do you remember when we were in London and the Eagles were playing as well? So it was on all the buses saying the Eagles, the band were playing while the Eagles were there.
So Monday, March 28th at the Wells Fargo Center. Tickets on sale next Friday, January 14th, 10 a.m. via WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com, by the way.
You were talking about their harmonies. And this this little piece that was in the documentary of those guys backstage warming up yeah. before a concert.
Yeah, here you go.
There are stars.
This is on stage.
In the yeah. southern sky.
There's a scene. Yeah, and in fact, you should be able to find it. It would normally lead before the... It might have been before the Hotel California video. But them doing this as a vocal warm-up
backstage. And it sounds just as good.
Spot on. You know. Excellent. All good stuff. Listen, I have some other audio to play for you this morning.
And more incredible harmonizing.
One, before we get what I hope is the money shot, because we haven't heard it yet. But before that, I want to play some audio. Steve sent me this story about this former news reporter who is pretending like she's doing a news report outside of her 2-year-old son's room because he had a tantrum.
Apparently at the Olive Garden.
Yes, yeah. And it's great.
She's holding a toy microphone.
It's had millions of views.
14 million.
So I wanted you to hear this. And she's standing. She's wearing, she looks very professional, holding a toy microphone. And this is her report.
Daniel Sullivan reporting live from outside my son's bedroom, where he's currently being detained until nap time is over. Now, this story does involve a minor, so I can't release specifics. But what I can confirm is my son is a 2-year-old terrorist who held me hostage at the Olive Garden earlier today. It's important to note the friends I met there do not have children and likely never will after witnessing this situation firsthand. This is an active investigation, but authorities believe the proper precautions were taken. I brought my son's favorite snacks and even risked judgment from other moms by bringing an iPad. But not even Cocomelon could have stopped this meltdown. After several cries demanding, quote, ketchup, ketchup, a Good Samaritan waitress miraculously understood it as the English word ketchup and brought him a bottle. Unfortunately, her good deed was later punished after he threw a ketchup-covered fork at her. Not all heroes wear capes, but this one should have worn an apron. You know, these toddler outbursts are becoming increasingly common as more and more parents try out the new craze, gentle parenting, and completely suck at it. I'll keep trying. Back to you.
Oh, my God, it's great.
Very nice, yeah.
And we've been there. Oh, my God, we've been there. All right, then, before we play the other one.
Okay.
There's a clip from the movie Don't Look Up.
Yes.
And I was reading a story about this yesterday about someone who... Oh, we don't have the audio?
When did they come over today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be over in 2 seconds.
Okay. Right. Marissa's got to go send that over.
Double duty today.
So in the movie, there's a 1-800 number that is given out.
Yes.
And
Leonardo DiCaprio.
About calling it. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right.
Well, some people did that for you.
All right, yeah.
And what do you think they found?
That's a good promo for the movie?
No.
Okay.
It turned out to be a sex line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's...
I would not have
said. So I don't know if that was done on purpose or not.
With Adam McKay, I would say that's possibly...
Possibly. You don't just throw a random number,
right?
You know, out on in a movie.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, like Nick had said, that maybe they would have done a spoof.
Yeah, or tie-in.
You know, Comet Hotline.
Right. Yes.
Or something like that. But
it very well might have been intentional, but regardless, it's pretty funny.
So we have the clip. Did you send both clips over, Marissa?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a clip from the movie where you hear them talking about it, and then we'll play the clip of the line. So,
yep, this is it.
All right.
Bass Cellular, in conjunction with the United States government, is creating a new hotline, free of charge, to answer all of your questions. Just maybe one of our scientists can be that friend we all need to lean on during uncertain times.
Call 1-800-532-4500.
for peace of mind.
Okay, so people decided to give it a call.
Right.
And here's what they heard when they called it.
Welcome to America's Hottest Talk Line. Guys, hot ladies are waiting to talk to you. Press 1 now. Ladies, to talk to interesting and exciting guys.
And that's the whole thing.
So that's clearly, you know what? I would say that might have been intentional. With Adam McKay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they would think that. They would think that through.
But have you... When that happens in a movie and they pop up a number that doesn't seem to be the usual go-to 555, are you ever prompted to call?
Yeah, I have. I don't remember anything fruitful coming from it, but it's so rarely happens that it's not a 555.
Right.
It's
usually like a dead number or something otherwise, but it's like, I wonder if that does take you anywhere.
Yep.
One of the most amazing things that happened, an author that's one of my all-time favorites, Harlan Ellison, put in a short story a number that he claimed was his phone number. And so I was reading Harlan Ellison on a Saturday evening, and I said, what the hell? I called. He picked up.
Shut up.
He goes, I'm going out right now. You know, and I could hear his wife in the back, and he goes, it's a reader. he goes, oh, my God, do you get a lot of these? He goes, yeah. He goes, but it's okay. He goes, thanks for reading the book.
Do you remember what book it was?
It was a short story in one of the books, and it escapes me now.
That's so cool. Yeah,
but it was so cool, you know? Wow. And I was like, because I adore, you know, his writing, and it was just amazing.
Yeah. Let's give out Casey's phone number right now.
Oh, yeah. That's good. All those 1-800.
So there's another piece of audio. We have not heard this yet.
No, we have not.
Jackie Bam Bam sent us this?
He told me about it.
Oh, he told you about it. Okay. Yeah. So Bill Weston filled in for Jackson yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what this was?
Yeah, last night.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so...
Pierre stayed a little late, then Bill picked up like 2 hours of the shift, and Jackie came up early.
Okay, I gotcha. So, apparently, I don't know what this is about. This is Bill on the
show. We have not heard this.
Yesterday, so I've just been told we
should... backselling a song and then the break that follows.
Okay, here we go. Is he going to hate us for this? Have you heard it?
I have not heard it, and I don't care.
Okay. Have you heard it, Marissa?
I did. It was very unexpected.
Okay. Well, this could be reinforcement of, you know, how good Bill is as a teacher.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
93.3 WMMR. That's a hero from Weezer. And I want to thank my wife for the Marvel-themed underwear that I got as part of my Christmas present. It's weird. It's a little weird, right? You think this is something that Steve probably has a whole drawer full of, right? But it's... Spider-Man underwear? I don't know. Well, as long as nobody sees it. Your mother used to say, well, like, look, make sure your underwear are clean because if you're in an accident and, you know, the emergency medical technician has to take your pants off, your underwear will be clean and you won't be wearing Spider-Man-themed underwear. There you go. A man who looks really good in spandex and, you know, superhero-themed clothing is Jackie Bam Bam. And we're expecting him here shortly to help kind of cover Jackson's shift and get us back onto even keel.
All right.
That was fun.
That's fine. Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, and that was a good segue into Jackie.
It was a good riff. I think it was fun.
Jackie doesn't wear underwear.
You're right.
Bill may not know that. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
It may be weird for us hearing about Bill Weston's underwear because he normally doesn't talk about that type of thing. But we
guess
talk
what
about
I'm wearing?
All the time.
G-string. Speaking of which, just another corner of a tangent, that exposed thong strap thing, you know, that was all the rage for a while, where they'd wear the
above the jeans. The waistline, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's back.
Well, cool.
Yeah. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
The low-rise pants are back. So, like, the mom jeans and the high rises were, like, in for the past 3 or 4 years. But now, like, the low Britney hip-hugging jeans are coming back into style.
I like that, too. I did see my neighbor's butt crack yesterday,
though. Oh, that's great.
He was cleaning up dog crap in his backyard, and I have to do
it. Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's really cold. You don't feel that? I didn't say anything.
It's so hot.
I'm like, it's really cold out, man. You're not feeling
How do you
that?
Not know? I know instantly. Mm. I can tell exactly where my jean line is.
Yeah.
It's so... I see butt cracks all the time. I'm talking about guys. Bending over, doing whatever. Do they not know?
How do you... Yeah. I refuse to believe they don't know.
It's the main reason why I wear bibs, like when I cycle. It's, you know, essentially I look like King Kong Bundy, but I wear those. So when I put, you know, when I'm bent over on my bike, my crack
is covered
and not hanging out.
By the way, circling back to the Adam McKay audio and Don't Look Up. So I texted him and he said, we're talking about the 800 number on the movie on our show right now. Was that really a sex line? And was it a sex line on purpose? And he said, total accident, exclamation point. And I asked him if he wanted to call in, and he said he can't right now. He will call us again soon. And then he wrote, Steve, that we were trying to get a phone line up with it with our own Bash number. Bash being like the cell phone company in the movie or whatever. So they tried to make it a sort of a promotional thing for the movie, but it ended up just being this random sex line.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Can you ask him one other question? Yeah. When they're on the ship, is that the same ship where Cher shot her music video?
Turn Back Time.
Turn Back Time video.
She was on a battleship.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
It just looked very familiar.
Where the ships do tend to look alike.
Yeah, battleships pretty much.
They don't let them personalize them.
But I also thought there might not be that many that you film on. It might be a coincidence.
Yeah, you guys, just do your own. If you want to do paint-wise and put up your Loverboy posters.
I want to go back to butt cracks because I saw a video over the break. These two guys got into a fight in the concourse of a football game. It was Pittsburgh versus, I can't remember who they were playing in a bowl game, but these two guys got into a fight, and it's unfortunate, and the one guy just wouldn't let it go. When one dude threw a punch, he punched over a woman. The woman fell, and then so people were trying to break up this fight, and this one dude, this poor guy, is bent over trying to help this woman, and as a result, like 17 inches of his ass crack is hanging out of his pants. And I felt so bad. Did you guys see this at all?
No.
Okay. This is just, you know, sometimes these things end up on my Twitter feed. And I felt so bad for this guy because all he was trying to do was just, he wasn't involved in the altercation.
And yet he has random butt crack.
And then, but, and as a result, you know, he is, quote, the butt, no pun intended, of people's jokes. I was like, that kind of sucks. This guy's just doing a nice thing and the right thing, and now he's being made fun of.
There is no justice.
No, there isn't.
So, would you show restraint in not pointing out?
I didn't.
The butt crack?
I mean,
not talking about joking online or something like that, but you would, even if you thought it was a nice thing you'd doing, you'd go, yeah, but his butt crack is hanging out. You know what I mean?
Well, you're telling us about it. So,
well, I am telling you, but I'm not making fun of the
guy. But
he
feels bad.
You're supporting it.
Yeah, I'm supporting this guy. Okay. This guy was doing something
We should get
good.
Him on the phone.
Let's get him on the phone.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Did Adam McKay get back to you about the battleship?
Not yet. Okay. He might be asleep.
He'll probably write back and go, they don't personalize the battleship.
If he never talks to us again after that question, I apologize.
So somebody texted in, though, Marissa, for whatever this is worth, saying that the ship from Don't Look Up is the USS Massachusetts.
Okay.
So we could cross-reference Cher and do our own research.
Was that in New York?
I don't know.
They're at the base of a bridge on the scene, and who knows?
Well, next time we have him on, we'll ask him nothing but battleship questions.
Speaking of which, Cher's butt crack was visible with what she was wearing on that battleship.
That was just duct tape and fishnets.
Her gaping hole.
Dear God.
Huh? My gaping hole.
Wow. That was Turn Back Time, right?
Turn Back Time.
All right. We should take a break because we have some bizarre file stories that we do want to share with you. So let's do that very thing. Coming back with that in just a moment. So stay with us.
Grab the free MMR app for your phone. You can stream us live, get on-demand audio and video, and we can even send you alerts on really important stuff. Plus, it's Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible. The MMR app, making your smartphone a little dumber.
We got one more run at the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we'll begin with this. A few unfortunate stories to share, but nonetheless I will. A 75-year-old man fell 100 feet to his death in a closed area of Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, where he landed below the crater rim of a viewing area
of
Kilauea Volcano. The man, who has not been named, apparently fell Sunday night west of the Ua Kahuna viewing area of the volcano summit. Rangers and firefighters searched for the man after his family had reported him missing early Monday, and a helicopter was flown in to recover his body. Visitors have been going to the park at night to get a glimpse of the glowing lava lake from the volcano, which began to erupt in September. Footage of the volcano's crater posted on the U.S. Geological Survey website shows lava streams.
I'd love to see that.
On the crater floor and clouds of volcanic gas billowing into the sky. I would as well.
Oh, my God, yeah.
When the volcano erupted a few weeks ago, it spewed about 26,000 gallons of lava a second.
out.
You can't drink all that.
But this guy, I don't know the nature of it, if he slipped and fell or what took place, but
yeah.
100 feet and did not make it. That's terrible. I listened to this, man. A prosecutor in Las Vegas says a 57-year-old man jailed after police found the severed head and body parts of an acquaintance in the truck he was driving has prior felony and federal criminal convictions dating back to the 1980s, including in states including California, Texas, and Nevada.
I wouldn't say we're friends. We're just an acquaintance.
Eric Holland appeared in court on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm just an acquaintance.
By heavily armed security guards and an attorney temporarily appointed to his case. He's being held without bond. He was arrested on traffic stop on an alleged stolen truck in Las Vegas. Police say that he tried to flee the scene but was taken into custody. Officers discovered human remains, including a severed head in the truck.
Don't take him to jail.
Holland's alleged victim was identified as Richard P. Miller of Las Vegas. The Clark County coroner says Miller died last Thursday from multiple gunshot wounds, and his death was a homicide.
Think about that, man. How can you disconnect that much?
Holland had been sought since May of 2019 on an arrest warrant in a 2018 case in Las Vegas, accusing him of embezzlement, identity theft, theft, issuing false checks, and theft. I have another dismemberment story, but we're going to save that one for tomorrow. I try not to do two dismemberment stories in one day.
And I appreciated that. In this case, would he be allowed in the high occupancy lane?
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, right?
They don't have to be living, do they?
He's never made that specification.
Yeah. This is a cool story. A Chinese man who was abducted in the 1980s has been reunited with his family after he drew a map from memory. So, and it goes way back. When Li Jingwei was 4 years old, he was taken away from his family by a man in his village who sold him to another family more than 1,200 miles away. So Li was aware that he'd been kidnapped, but he was only 4 years old. He couldn't remember the name of his village or even his parents,
really.
That's
what blew me away about this story.
So he did remember geographic details of his village, and he would frequently draw the area from memory. Following the high-profile reunion of another child who had been kidnapped in the 1990s, Li drew a map of his childhood village, and then he posted it on the Internet. And he wrote, "So many years have passed. I don't know if anyone in my family is looking for me." And he said, "I want to be able to see my parents again while they're still alive." So the video drew the attention of a Chinese government, and then they took DNA samples and they located his mother. And the two were reunited on Saturday along with many of his other relatives.
Did you see the footage?
I did not.
She just collapses.
Wow. She can't believe that they're reunited. Yeah.
Wow. You guys have seen the movie Lion, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's amazing.
I didn't. It's a true story. It's very, very similar.
It's actually the one that actually won the Oscar for over La La Land?
No, that was Moonlight.
Okay.
Moonlight. Sorry, it's just been called Moonlight. No, but Lion, he wasn't abducted. He just got lost.
He was really
on a train.
Poor Indian kid, and he was able to remember some highlights of where he grew up, and he used Google Maps to track it down, and then eventually was reunited with his family. So it's a similar story to the one you just read. Yeah,
that's really cool. All right, here's a similar story to the earlier Bizarre File, but completely different. A Shiloh shepherd named Tinsley earned some extra treats Monday night after leading authorities to her owner, who was injured after a vehicle crash and in urgent need of help. Tinsley caught the attention of New Hampshire State Police.
Yes, I'm a canine.
Of New Hampshire State Police.
I don't know exactly where we are.
When they responded to a call about a loose dog on the Veterans Memorial Bridge. Which spans the New Hampshire-Vermont border. Now, Trooper Tom Sandberg and officers from the Lebanon Police Department located a large dog that was looking skittish and scared. Officers tried to get close to the dog, but she would run and then stop and look at them, trying to get their attention.
How cool is that?
The dog stood at the top of the embankment and looked down. The dog led them to the accident.
Over here!
Yeah.
You idiots!
The officers noticed a damaged section of guardrail, and when they looked down, they saw a badly damaged pickup truck that had rolled over.
Bobby!
Two men inside the truck had been thrown from the vehicle and were injured and hypothermic. Officers called for medical assistance, and while at the scene, they learned Tinsley belonged to one of the injured men. And one of the officers said it was almost like a real-life Lassie situation.
Yeah, the dog
went and got help. Said it's really quite remarkable. This dog definitely saved their lives. I don't think that they would have survived the night, given the temperatures. Both men were taken to area hospitals for treatment. Tinsley's owner, Cam Laundrie, said she's my guardian angel. It's a miracle that she had that kind of intelligence to do what she did. Laundrie described Tinsley as his co-pilot and said they regularly traveled together in the truck that crashed.
She even arranged a rental car through Enterprise.
One last story. Speaking of lions, a viral video shows a woman carrying a lion in her arms on a street in Kuwait following the animal's escape. The video was shared on social media on Sunday and shows a young woman carrying a young lion that appears to struggle. Environmental police said that the lion belongs to the woman and her father, and officers had helped capture the big cat when it was spotted wandering the streets, and they returned it to the woman's custody in Kuwait. By the way, it is legal to keep exotic animals as a pet in Kuwait.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's where Joe Exotic needs to end up, right?
Yeah.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file. All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll see how closely you've been paying attention to the show, because we're going to have the lesson question, trash, music news, going to reiterate the concert announcement we had just a little while ago, and more. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Happy to be celebrating yet another Thursday with you, and celebrating because when we're done, it's officially Friday.
It's true.
According to Casey, and there's no sad bro when that happens. So we're excited about that. All right. Let's see. We're going to ask today's lesson question. And we are going to give away as prize a 4-pack of Fandango tickets to see Universal's action spy thriller, which is called The 355. And let me see here. Where do we go with? I never read these ahead of time. I'm such an idiot. How about this one? If you'd like to get into roller skating, Steve recommends that you take to which location? Although this is probably not a great idea, and you just go in and walk around.
Yeah.
All right, 215-263-WMMR. You had to have been listening. You'll never guess it. Let's see if you know the answer. 215-263-WMMR. If you would like to get in roller skating, which is also, Steve recommended, you go into what location? Probably not a great idea, and just wander around and even breathe in deeply. 215-263-WMMR. We'll do the trash while you're calling.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve got stories. Going to get them to you. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Yes, I do. Chris Noth's character of Big has been removed from a future flashback scene in the Sex and the City reboot. From what we understand, Noth has been digitally replaced by a dildo.
Oh my God.
The online rumor mill questioning why Kim Kardashian unfollowed Miley Cyrus on Instagram after she co-hosted a New Year's appearance with Pete Davidson. Kim says she felt no need to keep following Cyrus because she's already following gonorrhea.
Hey!
And Jalalyn Sutherland, a 1-year-old girl from Ohio who dressed up as 95-year-old Queen Elizabeth for Halloween, actually heard back from the monarch in a handwritten letter the queen wrote, "Knock it off, bitch." That's your Hollywood trash.
All right, we'll see. We know if you know the answer. We know it over here. But if you'd like to get into roller skating, Steve recommends that you take to which location? I will go to Mike. He's our first caller. And hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, it.
Good morning, it, Mike. All right, what location should you take to?
An elementary school.
You got it. Yeah, of course. Hang on, Mike. Got yourself a 4-pack of Fandango tickets to see Universal's action spy thriller, which is called The 355. And five rival agents, one elite team from the studio that brought you Jason Bourne. Universal Pictures presents Jessica Chastain, Penelope Cruz, Bing Bing Fan, Diane Kruger, and Lupita Nyong'o. The 355 is rated PG and in theaters on the 7th.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
All right, if you missed it just a little while ago, we had a concert announcement, and that announcement was the fact that MMR is excited to rock the Eagles Hotel California 2022 tour at the Wells Fargo Center. It will be Monday, March 28th. Now, what they're going to be doing, what I love is some of these acts that have all these great albums.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be performing the album Hotel California beginning to end.
So, is that your favorite Eagles album? It is not mine.
No, I'm a greatest hits guy.
Yeah. You know,
Greatest Hits Volume 1 was outstanding.
And how long has that stayed in the top 100 of Billboard?
Man. Yeah.
It is, it's one of those rare greatest hits that I think really captures the band.
Oh, yeah.
And lives as an album unto itself.
Yeah. So I don't really know a lot of the Eagles like deep tracks except for maybe like Pretty Maids in a Row and These Shoes is another great song, you know, but
These Nuts,
yeah. Or is it Those Shoes?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Them Shoes,
yeah. Your Shoes.
Let's pull up the track.
My Shoes. Yeah. You know, pull up Hotel California.
It's called So What If Someone Threw a Shoe at Me?
Nick, if you don't mind.
It's Those Shoes.
Those Shoes.
Okay. Yeah.
Those Nuts.
These Nuts.
Those Nuts.
Those Nuts.
D-O-Z-E Nuts.
Those Nuts.
Nick, pull up the track listing. The trick lasting.
Eagles.
From Hotel California, because I'm interested into all of the songs.
By the way, that was a young Glenn Frey when they were naming the band.
Eagles.
It's for his voice change.
Yeah,
before
he
went through puberty. So, track listing of
track listing.
Or is that the song?
Oh, that's the damn song.
God,
here, you click on the album underneath the single there. See it? It says, from there the album, it is, Hotel from California. The album.
This computer, by the way, has gotten much slower recently, and it's frustrating to me.
Okay.
Anyway, there we go.
All right, so Hotel California, New Kid in Town, Life in the Fast Lane, and Wasted Time. Boom.
There you go.
That's
basic.
And then there's a reprise of Wasted Time, and then Victim of Love, great song. Pretty Maids in a Row, that's a great song. Pretty Maids All in a Row. Try and Love Again, that's a Randy Meisner tune.
It's a good song.
And The Last Resort. Okay, those are great. That will be an awesome set. And then after that, they're going to do, you know, a series of their hits, of their greatest hits, and so on. So this will be great. Pierre's going to have tickets all week long, this week and next week, to win. Before you can buy them, you can go to WMMR.com for complete details, including another chance to win for MMR VIPs. The Smile is the new group created by Radiohead members Tom York and Johnny Greenwood, and Sons of Kemet's Tom Skinner have released their debut single. It's called You Will Never Work in Television Again.
Wow, I don't think I'd ever want to see Tom York smile.
The Smile played the song during their secret show last year as part of Glastonbury's event Live at Worthy Farm.
I think of Lurch smiling.
And I've heard that phrase before, you'll never work in television again. I wonder if that's associated as a quote.
You'll never work in this town again.
I've heard
that. Yeah, that's the old saying, you know, that used to be what the movie moguls threw around in Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll never work in this town again.
The band have also announced plans to play 3 consecutive live shows at Magazine London January 29th and 20th. Those shows will be live streamed as well, and tickets to all events go on sale Friday. Avenged Sevenfold will put the finishing touches on their 8th studio album next month. While the band have completed their respective parts, there's a few final things that need to be done, like get an entire orchestra into one studio, which has delayed the recording process. According to M. Shadows, lead singer of the band, he said that the sound of the new project was greatly influenced by Kanye West.
Huh.
He said the thing about Kanye is that he is pulling from such great soul music, and I didn't grow up with that stuff. My dad listened to Boston and Alice Cooper, and I didn't get a taste of the black music and old soul. So diving deep into jazz musicians, he said, we're not trying to do a jazz record, but the chord changes and progressions are so eye-opening to us. So Avenged Sevenfold's last studio album, The Stage, was released in 2016. They're working on the finishing touches now in the new one.
So while I might not be a Kanye fan, you know, at least it's not my thing, from what I've heard from other artists and over the past year, I guess, who've worked with him, or he's actually, on a producing level, is pretty amazing.
He's pretty talented.
Yeah, and so the dude's got some natural ability. I can see what the Fuhrer is about. I mean, not Hitler.
No. Yeah, I haven't listened to enough to ascertain. It just, the music doesn't really speak to
me.
Yeah,
except for Poopity Scoop.
Oh, you know who loves Kanye?
Who?
Kanye.
Yes. He's a big fan.
Big fan of
himself. Blink-182's Tom DeLonge has regrets about how their album Neighborhoods turned out.
Regrets? Yeah, he has a few.
He said that he was too heavy-handed in trying to change the band's sound for what became his final album with Blink. After making music with the band Angels and Airwaves, he felt that was his outlet for their heavier music and no longer feels the need to push Blink in that direction. Travis Barker has stated that DeLonge was, quote, so careless while working on the album that he didn't even listen to the mixes or masterings. Neighborhoods was released in 2011, debuted at number 2 on Billboard 200, and dropped below the top 20 shortly thereafter. It remains one of their worst-selling records.
So we're believing that there is going to be some sort of reunion and reformation of the band,
right? I
believe
there will be, yeah.
Now that, you know, you've dodged a few bullets, all of them?
Yeah, there's no... no real rumblings of that
right.
yet, but I believe it's going to happen. I think it's got to happen.
Yes.
They were a hit machine.
Yeah.
100%. I predict like a big tour or something like that.
Do you know what? Tour with Machine Gun Kelly, because he's clearly, that's their inspiration. Yeah.
Tour with Goldfinger. That's
his inspiration.
Valerie Bertinelli writes at length about her former husband, Eddie Van Halen, in her new memoir, Enough Already, Learning to Love the Way I Am Today. People Magazine has published excerpts of the book in which the One Day at a Time star wrote, I can't explain the feelings Ed and I had for each other. Who really knows had he not died? I doubt it. Meaning maybe they would have gotten back together.
Right.
I assume that's what she meant. She said, I loved him more than I know how to explain, and there's nothing sexual about it. It was more than that, and Ed and I understood that. She wrote that she and her son Wolfgang, Eddie's wife Janie, and his brother Alex were with Eddie every day at the hospital in the weeks before his death. She said she had revealed, I love you are the last words Ed says to Wolfie and me, and they are the last words we say to him before he stops breathing.
That's amazing.
Wow. Dave Grohl and producer Greg Kirsten have released Kirsten X Grohl, The Hanukkah Sessions 2021. The set calls all 8 of the pair's 2021 Hanukkah covers, which were uploaded every evening during the last year's Festival of Lights. All of the songs were either written by and or originally performed by Jewish artists. The track listing to the session is Stay, I Missed You, Lisa Loeb.
Right.
Blitzkrieg Bop.
Yes.
From the Ramones. Copacabana.
Manilow.
Jump from Van Halen, because David the Roth is Jewish. Take the Box featuring Violet Grohl, who was done by Amy Winehouse.
Yes.
Big Shot. Who's Big Shot?
Is that Billy Joel?
Was it Billy Joel song? Is he Jewish?
Yes.
Yeah. He is?
Oh, God, yeah.
Never knew that.
He's a full-blown rabbi.
And no, he's not. And Train in Vain from The Clash. So I guess a member of The Clash must be Jewish, too. All right, so that is now available if you'd like to get that. Coming to select IMAX theaters for one day only on January 30th is the Beatles Get Back Rooftop Concert. The 60-minute presentation, which takes place on the 53rd anniversary of the Fab Four's final performance of the rooftop of their Apple headquarters in London, will also feature a Q&A portion with director Peter Jackson via satellite. The concert will go on to see a global theatrical release from February 11th to February 13th.
So have you completed the full documentary?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I completed it pretty quickly.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
And now, occasionally, I think I'm going to know the areas that I might want to jump in and watch again.
Agreed.
Probably won't watch it all in its entirety again. But, yeah, it's amazing.
I don't really need to see the first one. The second and third ones, I thought, were really the best part. The Beatles Get Back, which also features the group's entire rooftop performance, premiered on Disney Plus over 3 nights in November and will be released on DVD and Blu-ray February 8th. Peter Jackson said in a statement, I'm thrilled that the rooftop concert from The Beatles Get Back is going to be experienced in IMAX on that huge screen.
You going to go?
It's the Beatles' last concert, and it's absolutely a perfect way to see and hear it. Nah, probably not. Mm. I don't need to go. I mean, I'm cool with the TV at home.
Right.
But I would imagine the sound has got to be pretty damn awesome in IMAX as well. But, man, did they clean up that footage. Mm-hmm. It looks like it was filmed yesterday.
It's unbelievable.
And that was a Beatles song.
It was.
What they perfected on that whole thing, what he's done also, like with his World War I documentary, it's just, footage that's that much older, and it looks brand new.
Wow. All right, one last story, and I thought Pierre might find this interesting since he's buddies with Graham Nash.
Yeah.
Graham Nash credits partner Stephen Stills for saving the song Teach Your Children. He was speaking about his 1970 Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young standard for the man's 1970 Deja Vu collection and said, the first time I ever played it for Stephen, after I finished the song, he looked at me, he said, that's a really good song, but don't ever play it like that again.
Well, do it live!
He said, you sound like Henry VIII. And he played my song back to me with that beautiful right-hand picking style that Stephen is so well known for, and obviously he turned my Henry VIII song into something special. Nash was asked about the song's arrangement being the example of working as part as a collective and explained, you still have to listen. At least I listened to Stephen, and at least I didn't get upset that he didn't like the way I sang my song. So when he played it back, it was obvious that that's the way that the song should go.
It takes a lot to be... you know, to be that malleable. I mean, they say stick to your vision, but if someone gives you advice,
yeah,
being able to see the merit is a good attribute.
And you know what I didn't know? You know who plays pedal steel on this?
Is it Jerry Garcia?
It's Jerry Garcia. I never knew that. Do you guys know that?
I probably did at one point, and then I forgot it through hypnosis.
Yeah. He said Jerry Garcia put in his pedal steel on a record for the very first time, and it was fabulous.
I think a few months ago, Pierre played back an interview that he had done with Graham Nash, and he talked about Jerry being in the studio down the hallway, and he also played the original version of this song, and it was very different.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what I would.
Yeah,
what
yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was... I mean, you hear
so
this.
So Pierre's already
you know
covered this.
This
before.
Listen,
I
man.
I think it's in whatever.
You
got to the...
march to your own drum.
Yeah.
All right. So anyhow.
So Pierre broke this news months ago.
Yeah, no, long time
sorry.
Ago. Long time ago. So forget that last part.
It's all right, so cool to hear
we're
again.
Done. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second, and we'll get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. Stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Well, check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on MMR's mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
And, yeah, we got snow on the way. Just a helpful reminder, tomorrow morning's commute might be affected. In fact, yeah, they will definitely be affected. We're going to get the overnight snow. 2 to 4 inches are calling for now, depending on where you are. And I haven't heard much more than that.
And, you know, they love to bang the panic drum if they can, and they're not really. So it'll be an inconvenience, but it shouldn't be devastating.
Yep. So starts overnight into the commute tomorrow morning. So get yourself ready for that. I would like to thank Mr. Steve Ward for being on our show today. Steve from MasterMatchmakers.com, and he was the host of Tough Love when that show was out on... VH1 and just giving us some advice, and if you do need some assistance, it's what they do.
Yeah.
And he knows what's going on. He's like, yeah, dude, it's crazy busy this time of year.
No doubt.
Which can be good for people who are seeking, because there's other people that are seeking as well. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be out there.
A lot of fish in the ocean.
Exactly. So, let's go to our big grouper around this place. He rules the roost.
I'm the big grouper.
You're the grouper, man.
Wow. Got to look that up on my BlackBerry.
Grouper is a very large fish. How you doing, man?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. Nice to see you once
very
again.
Very nice to be seen and to seize you.
When is the deconstruction of
I think
all the,
might...
the decorations?
Today, Marissa says.
Today, yeah. Today, Marissa says. Okay.
How'd
you do you have that? Any part
she
in that?
She knows everything.
She does.
I sort of conduct it.
The deconstruction?
Mean, well, I sort of watch over it.
Okay.
And then afterwards, I conduct a cleaning because we don't clean these studios.
Well, you'll be happy to know one Robin Lee went to town with Q-tips and alcohol, and wow. She, like, finally cleaned the board in the Pierre Robert studio.
Wow.
And a lot of the crevices and stuff. She said she went to town on that.
She's amazing.
Yep.
Robin is absolutely amazing, and we love her for a thousand reasons. But that's another little gift that she brings when she's on. But there's crevices all over the place. You know, if you are, I mean, the thing about dirt is you can understand how someone like Howard Hughes could come to be so OCD.
Right.
Because around every corner is more dirt. And even if you get the noticeable dirt, then there's, my mother was neurotic about this because we ran a little resort up at Lake Tahoe. And she'd have helpers, and they'd go down on the beach afterwards, and then she'd go down and get them and say, you've got to go back. You missed the spot. And she'd show them the spot.
Very, so, very pedantic, yes.
I know how to clean. I don't clean, but I know how to clean. So up on the upper level was the first year I remember Connor, because Connor was, I think he was on the MM Army at the time. And I said, all right, so we've taken all this down. Now we're going to clean this whole shelf up here. And I said, so just, you know, dust this whole shelf, wet it down, dust it, and dry it. And then he did. And I looked back, and there were huge gaps missing in it. And I go, could you come back here for a minute? I said, now stand up here. Now look at, see, do you see anything? He goes, nope. I cleaned it. I said, but you missed huge swaths of there of dust that are still there. And he goes, really? Like a typical guy.
Not everybody sees it.
Yeah. Not everybody sees it.
You get the white glove test to everyone.
You can do that everywhere you go. In fact, just like Kathy Romano, I do that everywhere I go. Like last time I was at your house a couple of years ago.
I remember that. Man, yep.
All five fingers.
They got, you know, the three knuckles deep, man.
Five finger dust punch.
All right, well, it's going to be clean, which is wonderful. That's a great thing. We need to get the letter of the day if you're ready.
Yes.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter.
K is in Kellogg's.
I like it. So we have one more to go for tomorrow, and we'll give away that six-pack of pit tickets to the MMRBQ. Saturday, May 21st, and you know who's playing that, don't you? A lot of great bands. Disturbed, Pretty Reckless, Royal Blood, Living Color, Low Cut Connie, Crobot, Lil Azar, Jackson's Local Shots, artist Huxley will be there as well. Tickets start at $25. They're available while supplies last, on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. You can get all the information at WMMR.com, including a look back at every MMRBQ ever, backstage interviews, band photos, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that might be worth perusing. I want to take a trip down memory lane with that, too. What's up on your program today, man?
Lilith Czar is not an easy name to say.
No. Lilith Czar. It's tough for you?
Well, the Lilith doesn't flow out.
Into the Czar?
Yeah.
Or just Lilith Czar?
Lilith.
Because you're coming up a T into a Z.
Yeah.
Right?
Lilith Czar. Say it fast.
Lilith. Yeah, you have to stop. You have to say Lilith Czar.
Yeah.
Or you can say Lilith Czar.
Yeah.
And that doesn't
work. Or Lizard. Or LZ.
Or just Lizard.
Lily Czar.
Yeah, Lily. We'll call her Lily.
You just wanted to talk about that for a minute?
Well, no.
Okay.
I thought I noticed that you were having a slight challenge with the Lilith as well.
Yeah, it's just
you're
one of those.
You're a great speaker, though.
There are
so
some.
You might not have problems with
there
that.
Are some words that you do have to. You have to take a pause.
Yes.
Before you go to the next word. And I can't think of. You know what? There's one I do at the end of. At the end of Del Chevrolet, and they say find new roads, and I hit that D at the end of find, because if I say find new roads, it sounds like I'm saying, oh, those are fine new roads. You have to say new roads.
Right.
These are little broadcaster things that we have to think about.
There you go.
Yeah.
On the program, we will have Eagles tickets, as you mentioned. Also, we will celebrate Malcolm Young's birthday. He would have been 69. Today, we've got some great vinyl of an album that came out today. We've got Workforce Blocks of Sting and Tool and Pink Floyd.
Very nice.
So it'll be a lovely day.
Love that. All right, I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you by Dunkin', official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and by Acme. Download the Acme app to see your all-new deals, rewards, and perks today. You can visit acmemarkets.com for details. Tomorrow, comedian Greg Burnett. He's just not the Indian
Yes,
guy,
right.
Will be on. He's great. And a make good, Daryl McDaniels, Run DMC, will be joining us tomorrow.
All right.
He had a little snafu the other day when he was supposed to be on. So we'll have some time with those guys. And it will be No Sad Bro Friday. So that is it. We are done. Rage on. And have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.